chances. We're going to abort you people. All right. We have got many, many things that we need to get to here. And Kevin Powell is in the studio, and Lauren Lapka is in the studio, and Kim Gordon I'm not speaking to. So we have...
Now, is that the way to start a weekend?
I'm just saying
football
that...
Football season's how many months away?
I did not like your attitude.
It's always football season, Kim.
Right.
That's true. About,
right, that is really true.
It really never
Especially
ends.
Especially in Green Bay.
Yeah. Right. Well, they have.
That's really all they've got. That and cheese curds.
May I ask you a question? What other season could it possibly be in Green Bay?
Cold.
Yeah.
Cold. Winter.
Right. With snow machining or whatever they call it. They call it sledding up there, right? What do they call it when they're in the snowmobile?
I have no.
Because only Laplanders like ourselves or whatever, Flatlanders. Flatlanders like ourselves. Are
Laplanders is my family.
That's right. Sorry, Lauren. That the Flatlanders. Or FIBs, as we're better known, down here are the, you know, we just call it snowmobiling, we don't know any different. So that's how it goes.
Bottom line is, go Bears.
Yeah, right.
Right, Kim?
Ha ha, Clinton Dix joined the team because he wants to be on a winner. And he left some kind of money on the table, which I find it hard to believe an agent let him do.
But look, all the guys they've signed so far have talked about coming to the Bears because they are on the rise. It is a culture change.
Would you, if you had a choice to go on the team, on the defensive side of the ball, that had, and that's a very clear point I'm trying to make there. If you had the choice to go on the team that had, let's say, Khalil Mack on it.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe Eddie Jackson, his former Alabama teammate.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just saying. Just a thought. I hate to get all, you know.
Roquan Smith. No relation to Roquan.
Yeah, he has. I'm trying to claim he is, though.
That's fine.
Really, I hope that's the case. All right, let me tell you about things that are coming up here as you're listening to WGN Everywhere on the web and, of course, also on the CLTV right now. Coming up in just a few minutes, Kristen McQuarrie from the Tribune editorial board is going to be here. The Tribune editorial board has made its endorsement. For the mayor's race in Chicago, we're going to find out who it is and why they made that endorsement. I'm going to give you one guess who it is. So far, I've heard of only one endorsement, of a major...
For Preckwinkle?
For Preckwinkle.
The union?
Well, the unions. Other than the union endorsements, which, you know, they're going where the jobs are, right? Mm-hmm. They don't want to tick off the person that's going to have to negotiate their new contract. I know exactly how that goes. I'm very familiar with it. But let's talk about, in terms of the major endorsements of those things that those people who are influencers or other politicians or major media operations, I've heard of only one major endorsement, one for Tony Preckwinkle. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Judge Mathis has just let his endorsement.
Is that right?
Yes. Judge Mathis has done it. Now, if you're a big Judge Mathis fan, maybe that changes your position on this race.
Wow.
We have a little
Didn't
bit.
Didn't see that one coming.
You are not trying to be funny, are you? What are your last names? Do you have your ID on
Yes,
you?
Sir.
You are in here playing games. I'm going to throw y'all out real quick if this isn't true. Mr. Beaver? Mr. Cox?
Beaver versus Cox, Your Honor.
Oh. There you go.
An endless battle.
Yeah. That is really true. It really is. So that man right there, Judge Mathis, has said that Tony Preckwinkle should be the next mayor of the city of Chicago. Just letting you know, that's kind of
that was going to be him endorsing her. I was like, where are we going?
I think we are waiting on that, though. Aren't we in the WGN, the Rokon Show with Anna DeBlanche Satellite Center? Aren't we waiting on the Judge Mathis download to come in? We've got all of our satellite dishes pointed at Matt Starr, which is the big satellite that just handles Judge Mathis's show. He's got one that handles everything, and we'll find out when he actually makes that move. And he's right across the street. Doesn't he do it over at Channel 5? Isn't that where he records his show?
I think so. He could walk right over.
Yeah, I got to tell you something. For people who've worked in that building for a long time. When the talk they line up all of the talk show audience in this sort of, you know, like it's almost like going through TSA. It's like one of those winding kind of, you know, with the ropes.
Never-ending line.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the one thing I always noticed about the Springer crowd was that the Springer crowd bring their own pillows. And I don't know why.
Pillows?
Yeah, they bring their own bed pillows.
So post up and get comfortable?
Right, BYOP. Exactly right. I think it's because they're in town and they're, you know, they just got off the bus and then they go.
We're going straight to Springer.
They go straight to Springer with their pillows because they're not sure that the wherever they're going to be staying, hotel, motel, Holiday Inn, mm-hmm. is going to have pillows. Because I'll tell you why. This is the first time they've ever been out of town.
We're going to go see Jerry Springer this weekend
yes,
in Chicago.
Exactly right. And some of those people are also will be featured on the show as well.
Right.
I appeared on Jerry Springer.
Did you get in a wrestling match with anybody?
Long time ago, and I had a 3-year-old say that he wanted to kick me in the crotch, except the problem was he did not use the word crotch.
A 3-year-old?
Yeah.
What'd you do to tick him off?
I told him that Barney was fake.
Ooh.
Yeah, they didn't like that. This is so long ago.
Blasphemy.
Right, the Barney was irrelevant. That's how long ago this was.
And Barney was in the news, so Springer brought it up.
No,
and then...
Barney, there was a whole movement. There was an entire
Barney movement.
There was an anti-Barney movement.
I miss the days of Barney movements rather than the, you know, all the other movements we have today.
There was a, I don't even know if you guys were born yet, but there was an anti-Barney movement.
Hey, I predate Barney. I was all Sesame Street. I remember.
Oh,
my kids were big Barney fans.
Yeah, Barney was right kind of, yeah.
Yeah,
right,
you're like the same age as my son.
Yeah.
So the Barneys, when Barney was like really taking off, there were people out there who believed that Barney was actually sending secret signals to
like
kids.
Like a creep, right?
Yeah. That was sending a signal to kids that they should, you know, follow in some sort of, you know, crazy liberal agenda. You know, whatever it was. I can't remember what it was. It was something like sort of, you know, quasi-political. It was so stupid. Right. And I don't know. They had me on to talk about it. I don't know, whatever it was. And my whole thing was that the song is going to make kids stupid. That was my whole position. The song is so insipid. It's so awful. And it's so beyond, you know, it almost will, when you hear it, your IQ will actually drop. That was my point. And
I remember people getting teased for loving Barney.
Yeah, and then the 3-year-old said he was going to kick me right in the...
He's still scarred from that.
Yeah.
That 3-year-old is still scarred from... Oh,
yes, here
he is. Oh, my God.
You love me, we're a happy family.
See, this is right.
With a great big
sounds like the theme song to a cult.
Well, see, the whole point was that parents who did not have happy families, you know, where the houses were not happy families, is that there was like a whole movement that Barney was trying to steal their children. By inviting him to their...
You think you're better than me, Barney?
Right, Barney was the guy in the white van driving around, right? I mean, he was. That was the great concern about that. And then on the Springer show, everybody's an unhappy family, so it works out perfectly. All right, everybody stay right there. We're going to find out from Kim what's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
The endorsements continue to roll in for Lori Lightfoot.
Right here, 720 WGN. We do have Anna off today. Kevin Powell and Lauren Lapka and Kim and I are going to hold forth. And there's a Carnarvon wagon that you will not believe coming up. If you're watching us on the CLTV, if you're already listening to us on the web, you already know how to get here. I don't have to tell you how to get here. You've already gotten here. If you're watching on CLTV and you'd like to listen to the program right now on 7:20 a.m., White Sox versus Cubs, on WGNRadio.com, the WGN app, and WGN Radio on TuneIn, you can listen to this very radio program.
I prefer the TuneIn. I like the TuneIn.
I like the TuneIn, too.
Very nice. Easy to use.
Although I've learned so many things about the 60-Minute Men on TuneIn, I'm not quite sure what to do with it. All right, let's talk now. The Chicago Tribune has endorsed a mayoral candidate. Kristen McQuarrie, who is from the Tribune editorial board, is joining us right now on the Super Celebrity Hotline. And all right, it's up to you right now, Kristen. Who has the Tribune endorsed?
The Tribune has endorsed former federal prosecutor Lori Lightfoot in the runoff between Lightfoot and Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle.
I wonder why it is that Lori Lightfoot is amassing all the endorsements, and the only major endorsement that I've seen so far for Tony Preckwinkle is Judge Mathis. Is there any explanation for that? How did you guys come to your decision?
You know, it's been really interesting watching Lori Lightfoot, because she was so far in the back of the pack in the beginning that everyone kind of referred to her as, you know, not one of the front runners, not an unlikely mayoral candidate, mayoral hopeful. She's really surged, and I think part of what her appeal is that she is very clean, she's unblemished in terms of all of these corruption charges. And so what was so harmful, I think, to Tony Preckwinkle and really many others in the field was that morning in November, the week after Thanksgiving, when the feds raided Ed Burke's City Hall office. And as soon as that butcher paper went over those windows, it was just a complete turning point in the mayoral race, and Lori Lightfoot has been able to capitalize on that.
Is it surprising, though? I mean, just as Chicagoans and people who cover this for a living, is it really that surprising that it took that moment to turn everybody's head? Because everybody talks about corruption, and we know it's there. We know it's endemic, and we know it's at the highest levels, including, you know, maybe it had worked its way to the finance committee of city council. But why do you think this was the, wait a second kind of moment?
I think because it was someone who is just a lot, you know, he's considered the council dean. This was a big fish. And I think what we've become accustomed to and really just kind of numb toward in the city are, you know, the give and take, regular run-of-the-mill type corruption, like we just saw with Aaron Schock, congressman, like we have with an alderman, Willie Cochran, who is probably going to...
We should point out that Aaron Schock, all the charges have been dropped against him.
Exactly, but when he was indicted, and it was the indictment was based on sort of what people consider to be just what politicians do, you know, misrepresenting how much money was in his campaign fund, etc.
Right.
Those charges have been dropped. But this was Ed Burke. I mean, this was someone who was really considered untouchable, and obviously got very comfortable in overlapping those roles with City Hall and his private law firm. And so, for the feds to finally get something like that, it was a shock to the system.
Even though he still got reelected, despite facing the charges.
I know.
Federal extortion charges, and he won again.
He didn't even get in a runoff. Like, you would have thought he had two opponents and they split the vote, but still, to have him basically waltz back into the city council when lots of his colleagues, 15 of his colleagues, are all at least in runoffs, you know, they didn't reach that 50% mark. So that's the Southwest side for you, I guess. They like to have the clout and the influence, and they sent him back.
Yeah, what do you want? Some guy's not going to get stuff done? Have you seen what I really liked about that night is when all the press amassed on election night around his compound. There's no other way to describe Ed Burke's house other than compound, because there's a house and there's a separate building, right? There was like two things going on there.
It's a gate. Monstrosity, yeah.
Yeah, it's behind a gate on one of the streets that I'm not sure was ever a real Chicago street.
And he has such a like the perfect long time Chicago politician look to him. Like, perfect. If you were to draw it up in a Hollywood script, that's what you would think a longtime Chicago politician would look like.
Central casting.
Yes. Right.
You would. I mean, the pinstripe suit, the pocket square, the rosy cheeks, the combed back white hair. I've actually been told repeatedly he doesn't actually live full time in that compound. They have he's married to a Supreme Court justice. I think they live probably somewhere downtown most of the time. But yes, that is a very out of place. It looks like a three-story apartment building.
Yes.
At the end of a one-way street of bungalows.
Correct. Yes. And then it kind of turns. It's kind of at an angle. Which is,
yes.
It doesn't even fit on the street exactly. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I know that the aldermanic prerogative is one that's been, you know, it's kind of how this town was built, but it is. No one ever stopped. No one ever stopped to think when they were building that, hey, we should call somebody.
You know. know, do you think maybe he had some pull over, like, the different zoning permits and requirements? No, I'm sure not.
There's FAR and all the rest of those things that any other homeowner has to deal with here. And there's an inspector who comes out and is sort of like, hey, listen, I take a look. First of all, your basement is violating the FAR rules. You're now out of your 1,800 square feet, you are now using 600 of it in the basement. That's not right. So it's a different taxing zone. Now, however, this can be overlooked for a very, if you happen to, I'm going to walk out of here right now. But then I'm going to come back to the front of the house a little later, and it could be overlooked, if you know what I mean. I mean, I could think of 600 reasons why it could be overlooked.
Classic overlooking.
My gosh. Ro, that is, you're frighteningly really on target with your little city worker inspector corruption bribery deal.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I might have seen a few of those over the years. Never taken part in them.
I'm sure if you or I applied for a building that was 2 stories higher than is permitted, with a wrought iron fence that is 7 feet higher than is permitted, with a lock, I'm sure it would also fly through.
It looked like the green zone when the reporters were showing up, like in Baghdad, where they had, remember, this, like, it was just, they built an entire walled city around the U.S. compound there. That's what it looked like to me when all the reporters were standing out waiting for Ed Burke for the door to open. It was like one of those gates that, somewhere between the Green Zone and Graceland is what that thing reminded me of. And it is a little unique. But I think the thing is that he was counting on, and I think a lot of other people have been counting on for years, certainly the great princes, if not kings of their wards, are counting on the fact that the media can't find their addresses. Because unless you're a police beat or fire beat reporter, and those are generally, those are services more than they are the broadcast people, they never go out there, right?
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I know we're making fun of his house, and it is very strange and off-putting, but this it's also just symbolic of, here is someone who gets driven around, who has bodyguards, who lives behind a protected gate, who had, 28 firearms that he had to turn over when he was arrested. Well, I'm sorry, was not arrested, when he was charged, and yet we tolerate that. And I mean, he lives in just a stone's throw away from a pretty struggling, low economic area of the city.
Which would make the argument for why he thinks he needs 28 firearms too. And the thing, here was the problem, Kristen, though, it's an important point to make. The security people that were around him were being paid for by us when he didn't really need to have them, and taken off of the remember, these were police. This was a police situation, right? And these were guys who were, like, detailed but not detailed. And you're like, the Chicago police could use every single cop they got. I mean, if you want to use CPD for a reason, I'm not sure that the finance chairman of the city council is to get driven around by them is exactly the right reason. I understand the mayor. I understand if there's an active threat on somebody, I totally understand that. But, for 30 years.
I know. This is why we're so screwed up sometimes as a city, right?
This is why Judge Mathis has endorsed Tony Preckwinkle and the Tribune has endorsed Lori Lightfoot. I think it's what you've just told us here. I think that's the most important thing, is that people want, now maybe it is time for nobody sent.
That is kind of how Lori Lightfoot is. She's sort of Tony Preckwinkle's biggest nightmare, in the sense that, as a former federal prosecutor and as someone who's not been engaged in county politics, she doesn't have that baggage. She's sort of a clean shot.
Yeah. But can she find, because part of the issue here is you do still got to get stuff done. And when you get down it at the granular level, the ward or even certain precincts or departments that we never think about. I always talk about the Chicago Police Department being probably the most important, single item in terms of the city, right? It's like the one that everybody focuses on and should focus on, and that's day to day. Fire department being second, obviously, in a close second, but there's fewer fires, right? And so it's really about the healthcare system for the fire department more than it is anything else. Still, critically important. But we always stop to think about don't think about the water department. Because let me tell you, what is really the most important department? By the time it's all said and done, you get streets of sand, you got to get places and all that. It's all good. But we got to have water. right?
We
and
do.
No one ever.
Shout out to all the water department employees, Ro.
Yeah, that's not where I'm going.
I like giving them up.
That's not where I'm going with this, Kristen.
Okay, where?
I'm saying that nobody pays attention at the granular level, like who those people are, right? Who are the bosses there? How did they get their jobs, right? And all of those kinds of things that go on. And it's departments like that that very rarely ever make the news unless there's some, you know, there was apparently some less than sensitive emails flying around inside the water department a couple of months ago or a year ago or whatever it was, so that made the news. But, you know, you never hear about this stuff, right? So
no, you're right.
The question
and there
is,
are like 21 or 22 different city agencies, and most of them we never hear about.
Right. And some of them are critically important. Right, so that's my point, and we don't know who they are. And so when nobody sent becomes the mayor of Chicago, and then they call in, you know, some sort of a commissioner, and they go, oh, we're going to change commissioners. How are you going to get a commissioner to go into a situation that didn't come up through that situation? And that becomes a problem.
Yes, she's not coming in with any sort of a patronage army that is responsive to her. But you know what? She's got 4 years to build it up. So we'll see. It is going to be mayor of Chicago. She's starting to take campaign contributions right now from groups that are sort of playing against that independent label of hers. So she's kind of walking a little bit of a tightrope.
Yeah. Kristen, thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Ro.
Kristen McQuarrie. There she is, Chicago Tribune editorial board member. And yes, the Tribune gave their endorsement to Lori Lightfoot. But once again, big day for Toni Preckwinkle because she got Judge Mathis's. And that's, you know, he's a judge. Is he really a judge? Does anybody know if he was a judge? Was he a judge? All right.
We'll look into that.
Kim, can we do the news with you right now?
We can.
Radio to do.
Kevin, doesn't this song remind you of the guy at the Blackhawks game who
does
the jig? I love when he does that.
Well, we were there the other night, and it was St. Patrick. He was not, but they had Irish dancers all throughout the stadium. It was awesome.
Because I haven't seen him in a while at the last few Blackhawks.
You know what? Somebody brought him up to me. They go, where's that guy that used to do the dance? But I haven't seen him. But they had Irish dancers, and it was awesome. A whole St. Patrick's night at the UC.
Oh,
bro, you were there the other night when the Blackhawks won.
Yes.
Were you doing the jig, bro?
Yes, I was.
Different sort of.
Yes, I was more doing the jug, I think a better way of putting that.
Is that the claret jug that they...
Yeah, no.
That was quite the night.
All right. Sure thing. We'll do it. Excuse me. Hold on one sec. I'm having issues here. Hold on.
Classic technical difficulty.
I was not ready for this. I need to bring Demetrius up, and I'm not sure exactly where I'm bringing Demetrius up. So somebody could help me with that. I know Demetrius can hear me.
I might be able to bring Demetrius up. Demetrius, can you hear us? Hello? No, maybe I can't either.
All right, hold on. See, hold on. I think they've moved him over
to
this.
He needs to tell us what sort of drinking weather we're going to have this weekend.
Do you guys really have to press buttons?
Yes. It's difficult work, Demetrius.
Demetrius, it's even worse. I'm on the telephone over here trying to move golf clubs around. It's the most important job I have at this moment because Kevin and I have a very important mission next weekend that involves the WGN sales department. It also happens to involve golf. So we're trying to move things.
Yeah, if it's the sales department involved, there's some fun.
Yes.
In that too. Yeah.
So I'm trying to get that all done, and I'm trying to get done with the phone call, but then I forgot that we were not only on the stream, but we're also on the CLTV, so I'd like to apologize to CLTV for wasting anybody's time.
Well, they're right over there. They say, apology not accepted.
So thank you very much. All right, so here we are with Demetrius Ivory. We're ready to go. Tell us now, what's it going to be like tomorrow for the downtown parade and the dying of the river and all that?
You know, do you really want to hear this? I mean, I don't know if you want to hear this.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so tonight, snow.
Oh, hell no, no.
I'm just kidding. No, that's in the Senate.
Just kidding.
I like that response, though. Mostly cloudy skies tonight. Hey, for the parade, it's going to be chilly. So we're talking when the parade starts early tomorrow morning. What it says, probably people
line up. 9 o'clock, right, o'clock. Lauren? It starts, it starts the dying nine. Is at 9,
the
I think.
Yeah, the dying okay. for sure is at 9. I believe technically the parade is planned to start kind of after that.
That means 11, folks will be lining up 7 a.m., you know.
Yeah, I think it's like 11 o'clock.
Okay, so we'll be looking at temperatures in the low 30s there. So it's going to be freezing. It seems like it's like that every year for this parade. Temperatures are going to be around freezing. By the late afternoon, we'll get into about 40, 41 degrees, but that's it. It'll be a couple degrees cooler than normal.
All right.
A lot like today in terms of temperatures, which wasn't nice. And then tonight, or tomorrow night, we'll see some light snow come our way. Real quick system, but it is going to bring another chance for snow across our area.
Everybody's Sunday. Drunk by then anyways. Whatever.
I think so.
Oh, good. Because you know what? Yeah, that's what you want. You want slick streets. And everybody like, hey, what happened?
Well, that might make them slow down. You know, I've never seen the Green River. I even lived in River North. But, you know, we were crawling, and we just never crawled as far as the river.
I've never seen the actual dying. But when you do see it in person, it's something. It's awesome.
It is wild. And because it's when they first put it in, it is neon green.
Right.
It's not like a green, because you look at the river right now, we're looking at it, it's kind of green already.
Right.
It's sort of an olive drab. Mm. It's sort of naturally green. But you go, and that was always the joke in this town, which is, what do you mean you're going to dye the river green? It's green. What are you talking about? And now, when they put it in, it's this wild, like, as deep a neon green as you can find. It's no yellow green. It's green green. It's like, it's insane.
I've never, I misspoke. I have seen it later in the weekend, but not like when it's happening.
I've never seen it fresh either.
Almost, we're showing it on CLTV now. It's almost like it's a light underneath the water. It's that green. And it's and that's the Plumbers Union. They do this. They do an amazing job every year of this. But it's really basically between State Street, maybe Dearborn, and Columbus.
I'll tell you what, where we are right now, where it was a pretty good vantage. I'm sure that plenty of WGN employees will be up in this, packed in the studio,
staring at it while I was going.
It's overlooking the river. It looks great.
They say the best view is from Columbus looking west.
I'd imagine so. Yeah, you kind of get the
that's
little wind
had.
And all that. Yeah, that's pretty good.
So really nice.
Well, all the way up here near Addison, maybe if the green gets back here, we got issues.
Oh, the Chicago River at Addison. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got you know what you got at the Chicago River at Addison. You got things crawling out of there. Like there are animals in that riverbed that you're like, that should not be in an urban area. There's like bear and like coyotes and wolves and all kinds. It's crazy stuff that goes on around.
Yeah, I saw something that said it's the worst water quality of the entire river is right here.
Yeah.
Which can't be good.
Right.
Which can't be good.
Really, the carp are like,
get me out of here.
Let's walk.
And actually, the carp have now, they can actually walk. I've seen fish walk out of the river up on the North Branch. That's how bad it is. All right. So Sunday, you didn't mention Sunday for the Southside Irish Parade.
Well, Sunday we'll see a high temperature back in the low 40s, so we do start to warm up just a little bit, but it's still cooler than normal.
You got some sun for them?
Maybe some snow early in the morning.
There's
Sunday. But I think after that we begin, we'll just see cloudy conditions a lot like today. I mean, basically this whole weekend is going to be a lot like today.
Remember when it was warm the other day for about 10 minutes? That was exciting.
I do. 62 yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah.
And
feels so long ago already.
Yeah, and now we're talking temperatures down into the 30s across much of the region. It's 37 now at O'Hare. So if you wonder what it's going to be like, what you should dress like for this weekend, dress like for what's out there right now. Walk outside and say, okay, I need to dress like this for the whole week.
Except in green.
Except in green. The green, the green shorts and stuff, do they do? They don't do kilts on St. Patty's Day, do they?
Sure.
So.
I mean, some people do. I personally choose not to.
Oh, come on.
Because it just reminds me of being chased, you know, in a schoolyard when I was a kid, back when they had schoolyards. But I got to say, though, the Southside Irish, I know that I'm very excited for the downtown parade because these, you know, that's like official and fancy.
Right.
Southside Irish, a little less official.
Yeah.
Fancier than it used to be. They made it too fancy, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, that's the real deal, though.
Right. I still like it when people it starts at 95th and works its way all the way to 111th, which makes it, I believe, the longest parade route in Chicago. Mm. And other than the Pride Parade. Pride Parade is like, that's enough.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
4 miles or
by whatever. The end of it, just from waving and smiling, you're exhausted.
It's the longest continuous on the same street parade in Chicago is the Southside Irish. And there used to be people at about, it started in 95th, so by the time you got to about 103rd, there were people literally on all fours throwing up in the street because it was like, I can't do this anymore. Because they started drinking at the Saturday parade, and they just continued on into the Sunday
parade.
Well,
to give you an idea, WGN TV, they did the morning show this morning at Bourbon Street.
Oh, yeah.
And that's right in that's right there, and the whole place was packed by like 6 a.m. for the start of the whole thing.
So these people are still going to be burning off alcohol from Friday.
Yeah. From Friday morning.
Oh, it's already started.
Everybody's so passionate about the Southside Parade. Everybody who lives down there. So everybody's so into it. So everybody, when it comes around, it's a big deal. It's a big thing. You go house hopping and everybody's got about 400 pounds of corned beef, coolers full of beer. Everybody's friendly.
Doesn't matter how cold it is.
Come on in. I've never met you. I don't care. Come on in.
Right. Yeah. It really is great. And now they got politicians. Although I don't know. I've not heard if Tony and Lori are going to be walking this parade. This year.
Well, they just walk, and they, you know.
Yeah, but you know the kind of stuff that can get hurled out at these parades.
Yes.
I don't know if you want to be there just waving, you know. God knows.
What I've learned is just whenever people say something, you just continue with the queen smile.
Yeah, just wave.
Oh, man.
Back at you, pal!
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Hey, I hate you on GN.
You know,
thank
really
you.
Funny.
Thank you. Keep watching. Here's Skilling.
A couple years ago, we did the Pride Parade, and the one thing at the Pride Parade is people like to hit you with the Super Soaker at the Pride Parade. And there's like a bounty apparently in the crowd for the Super Soaker snipers who are able to actually hit you in your mouth with the stream. Because you know there's like smiling and you're like the clown like at a like one of those shooting gallery clowns where the balloon pops out of your head and they're just like if you're smiling your mouth is even remotely open you're gonna get hit with the super and they put something in the Super Soaker
water. Are you kidding me?
You had to give it a little more I don't know if it's mineral oil or something that makes it a little heavier so it goes further.
Oh, and you know what, you're probably looking out for the guy in the fatigues, but it's the little old lady that's gonna be holding that thing, right? Like she's good. It's the one that you least expect is gonna pull that out there and hit you right, dead center.
Right. So and sometimes again, your eyes are close to your mouth, at least in my case. And if they miss, if you're from 30 feet, very unlikely that you're gonna be right on target. But they do try it.
Oh my God. Yeah. I haven't had that happen, but
it's a thing.
With GN, it's gonna be like, come on, Bozo, let's go. We're hopping in the crowd. And we're getting this, whoever, the little lady.
A couple of years ago, I have stories from every parade I've ever been in this town. But a couple of years ago, we actually had to resuscitate Bozo, your Bozo, in our van, in the WGN radio van, because we had air conditioning.
Overheating?
He overheated.
Because he danced. Oh, the guy won't stop dancing the whole time.
You had
it
clown
was
down
last year, the parade.
Yeah, clown down. Just down. They had to, lay him out in
we
the van.
Clown down!
He's got the bright skin, right?
He's got the white. You think might be somewhat reflective, but I think the orange hair.
Yeah,
we should ask the president about this. The orange hair seems to drop this sunlight right into your brain.
Yeah, it's like a physics thing where it just directs everything right to your brain.
That's really true.
And he's dancing the whole time. I mean, when I say the whole time, there are times where we're like, okay, let's just I'm gonna take a seat here.
Chill for a minute.
Bozo's still up there, two-step and three-step.
You know how hard it is to dance in those shoes? I mean, think about that for a second. And clown shoes? A
lot of skill.
Yeah, tons of skill.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah. He's awesome.
All right, so what you're saying to me is that the weather's going to be okay. It's going to be survivable, but it's not going to be pleasant.
Yeah, we will get some sunshine, I think, during the day on into tomorrow. And we'll get a little bit of sunshine into Sunday. But the temperature's going to be basically like it is right now outside. So, jacket weather probably. And, it's right along that borderline where you wonder if you're going to need the hat or not. I say yes, but, it all depends.
Warm up from the inside.
It all depends on if you started with the beer or the liquor.
Right.
I will say this.
I recommend starting with the beer.
I
thought that's what you're not supposed to do.
Beer than liquor makes you sicker. Come on.
Yeah, but you gotta. Yeah,
but then you get drunker on the liquor.
We'll give you. I'm gonna give you drinking tips on the Carnarvon Wagon about this to help people.
Oh, Lauren's first Carnarvon Wagon today. This is exciting.
But I during the downtown Irish parade or downtown St. Patrick's Day parade, we were on a float years and years and years ago that fell apart. It was in a, you know, those things are like, they take old 1970s vehicles and they cut the tops off of them, right? And then they put this plywood thing on top of it.
This'll work.
And then there must have been at least $12 million in salaried talent on the ABC7 float at this time when I was on it. And we were all working our way down, back when it was on Dearborn Street, working our way down Dearborn Street, and the front of the stage on top of, you know, for this float falls off.
Oh.
The car runs over it, and because it's a long pole that we ran over, it got caught in the drivetrain and actually steered us right toward the crowd.
Oh my goodness!
And we're heading toward the crowd. Whatever you're doing there, 7-8 miles an hour or whatever it is, and we're like trying to get the attention of the guy who's driving, who may not have been completely sober when he was doing this. And we're heading into the crowd, and we're like looking into the crowd. Seeing that they're looking at us,
staring into the eyes of the viewers,
heading in, and they were so drunk they started applauding.
Oh.
They were like, "Yay, it's coming toward us!" And they weren't moving. And I'm thinking, "You're applauding your own death."
Because that thing's huge. That thing's like 7 stories or something, right?
It was a big. It's kind of a big deal. It's like a big size thing that's heading toward the crowd. And luckily, the guy stopped right before. But again, they were like, "Yay, we're gonna get run over."
I'm glad everybody made it out alive.
Yeah, barely. But it's really bad. You know, it's awful though, because you know how you're embarrassed even if you got a flat tire on the street and everybody's driving by you and you're thinking everybody thinks you're a jerk for having a flat tire. It's worse when you're the actual float in a parade and the high school bands are moving around. You're like, who are those?
They go around. They're like, okay, drummers to the left, trumpets to the right around this. This jalopy they got right here.
Exactly. All of a sudden, Ron Major's down there trying to, you know, like jack the thing up. I mean, it was really weird.
Oh, wow. That's an embarrassment because they take pride in their float. I mean, that thing. Yeah, you know, they blow moment. A lot of the budget, I think, on that one. Yeah. So, wow.
Right, exactly. They got Kathy Brock like on the getting underneath it on that little thing with the wheels on it, where she's under there trying to tighten the wheel. It was a weird night or a weird day. I won't deny it. All right. Thank you very much, Demetrius.
Thank you very much. Drive safe and enjoy the weekend.
Thank you very much, Demetrius Ivory. Demetrius. You can see him on the WGN-TV News coming up just right now, coming up right after he's done with this, essentially.
Sounds like a typical St. Paddy's weekend. That's all right.
Yes.
We're used to it.
Exactly right. All right, let's check in now with Kim. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
Roe will tell you why Bernie Sanders is wearing a bandage on his head.
All right, it's a Roe Con Show with Anna DeWantis right here on the World Wide Webs. WGN everywhere, they say.
The internets.
Yes.
We can swear if we want. Officially.
Oh, that's so cool.
Sick, dude.
Yeah. I think that there's some other standard that tells them not to, but we have, on these web shows, you never know what's going to happen. All of a sudden, you start talking and you can't help yourself, and I can't find the dump button because it doesn't really work on the web. It only works on the internet, on the broadcast part. So I tried. That's what I always say. I tried.
I tried when you screw up. I tried. I'm sorry.
I tried my best. I tried my best to take the... When I called somebody an MF-er, I tried my best.
It's not my fault I swore.
Not to refer to an elected official as that. And then they're like, well, I guess it's an elected official. Maybe you can get away with that. All right. So coming up on the program, we got Mark McKinnon is going to join us from the Circus Inside the Wilds Political Show on Earth. He's going to join us after 4 o'clock. And then we are going to have a discussion. Do you see that they just changed the rules to baseball again? It's official now.
Which one you got? There's been so many.
Since they made it, they made the rule changes for next season official, not for this season. Yeah. And I don't know.
The pitch clock not going until 2022 if they even do that.
And they still bunted on the attempted to bunt on the designated hitter, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
They whiffed on that. They're still not going to do it.
Correct.
Yeah.
There was an uproar. The MLB players right now seem to be mad just about everything. The slow free agencies, a lot of guys not.
Oh, they're really going to be unhappy about this because they lowered the number of people coming up. Right.
Correct.
Do baseball players like that or not?
Because less pro, it's less jobs in the pros.
Yeah. All right. We're going to explain all that. That's coming up. There's nothing but trouble. It's another bit of trouble. Now, Carnarvon Wagon, and let's say this. Carnarvon Wagon is totally worth it. And live music is totally worth it coming up later on. We may be back on the radio for the live music. It's unclear. Depends on how long the Cub Sox goes. But Philip Michael Scales is going to be here. He's B.B. King's nephew. He's been on the program twice before.
He's awesome.
He is an amazing artist. So he'll be singing for us. And we got Carnarvon Wagon with John Enright from Bluestone.
Nice.
He is patient zero of the Carnarvon Wagon, is what he is. It basically started with John, and John also caused the...
Didn't you have to get pulled off the air or something?
Yes, because of John. I was actually removed from service during the Carnarvon Wagon because the general manager was driving home, heard what was going on on the radio, called up and said, "You're off now." First and only time that's happened.
Okay, boss.
Something like that.
I'm signing off now.
Well, he said that I was slurring my words, and I'm like, I'm not slurring my words. I'm not slurring my words. You know what? You're a jerk. And next thing you know, I'm literally being escorted out by ABC security. All right, we will get to all of that, but first, Kim, why don't you do the news on WGN Everywhere?
The national emergency I declared last month was authorized by Congress under the 1976 National Emergencies Act. And there haven't been too many that are a bigger emergency than we have right at our own border. Consistent with the law and the legislative process designed by our founders, today I am vetoing this resolution. Congress has the freedom to pass this resolution, and I have the duty to veto it, and I'm very proud to veto it.
President of the United States right there, Mark McKinnon from The Circus, which is the best television show, the best 30 minutes on politics any given week when it is on. This is the last of this season. And, when you're on the cable with the seasons or in premium cable as you guys are on with Showtime, I don't even know what a season means anymore. You know, season to me is to start in September, end in May. Now I don't even know. But you've got one show left. It's going to be airing on Sunday. And then if there's Mueller news, I'm told you might come back for a special hour.
Well, the title of Sunday's show is What the F Happens Next, because I called Mueller. I said, "Bob, we really need this report out while we're on the air, so could you please get it up today?" And he said, "I'm sorry, Mark, we got to wait just a little while longer." So
now that you've said that, president is going to tweet that out. You know, I understand the communists, the socialists at Showtime.
Yeah, our plan this run, and you're right, seasons don't mean anything anymore on television, except that this was just our spring run, which was dictated in part by we were hoping to throw a net over the ultimate Mueller report, but also our co-host Alex Wagner is having a baby, so we kind of had to, and we're out of money. we were forced into taking a little pause here, but it's just hard to imagine. I know we'd love to kind of come back and do a special on the Mueller report if we can, but there's all kinds of logistic hurdles for that. So anyway, you know, it never stops happening, and the Mueller report's going to come out, and that won't be the end. That'll just be the end of the beginning, really. You know, because we got that. We got the Southern District of New York, and there's all these other things going on. So it's, you know, I think people have this notion that it's being some kind of resolution here, and that's really not going to happen.
Although I do think this, that it's, they've asked for an extension on the grand jury. They've asked for an extension on some of the other pieces of time that they're asking for from people that are cooperating with them. And, you know, we sit around and we keep thinking about Manafort, but the guy who was working with Manafort has agreed to continue his cooperation into mid-April. And so that's before they sentence him. So that's like a whole other deal. And you thought, well, what does he have to do with it? And now that Manafort's going away, that's all done. Now he's going to actually talk about other things that are going on, not just his work with Manafort, but he was also part of the Trump 2016 campaign and all of those things.
Rick, the inaugural and all of that.
Right. Yeah. And Rick Gates.
Yeah, which is once again, you know, makes us think that there's so much that we don't know about Robert Mueller and what he's doing. So, you know, we really have no idea of the real scope of what he's looking into or the timing. And all I can say with some predictability is that we will all be surprised.
Yeah, people are saying, well, there isn't going to be anything here. And we're not going to see it. The president just yesterday said that he doesn't think that the Mueller report should come out. And that was, there's so many other things going on, planes falling out of the skies, terrorist acts. People just kind of forgot about the fact that that the president's like, I'm not going to let out the thing that might make me look bad.
Yeah, which was kind of a tell, yeah, I think. And he went on a tweet storm again this morning, which was, again, kind of a tell. So I think, I can't imagine that Mueller would have done all this work and that there's not a bunch in there that will surprise us and will be fairly significant.
But it's interesting though, because at the same time, you know, we say that, and then Republicans and the defenders of the president will say, well, if, you know, if there were any collusion, we'd know about it by now. Do you think that's true?
Well, my point all along has been collusion is probably the least of their worries, the least of his worries. I think there's a lot of other things, and collusion itself is not a crime. I mean, that, you know, the Trump and his followers kind of made up this whole meme about collusion. I think what Mueller's looking into is way beyond collusion. So. Hold your breath.
All right, I'm going to lie.
Don't hold your breath.
I don't know how long. You're just trying to kill me now. I don't know what to do with that. All right, so are we, as we look at this now in terms of the politics, and when you come back in the fall, the idea will be that the races will be heavy on. I think we're going to start to see, isn't our first major televised debates, I think they've got one scheduled for June, right?
June. Yep, which is just insane. You know, normally the kind of classic kickoff is Labor Day, but now even then the debates are much later than Labor Day, but now it's in June, which just means that this is going to make the circus look like a zoo, that there's already 15 announced candidates on the Democratic side, I think. So, we could easily go on the air in June, but again, we have limited resources and limited health on our bandwidth, so we just kind of have to pick and choose. Although next year we'll be up almost the whole year. I mean, we have 26 episodes, so that's half the year.
So is Alex going to be back on the show for the fall? I mean, she...
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
We're just timing it around the baby, right? That's the thing.
This is
a circus, right? Baby. We got to... You know, the show must go on. You tell her that she's got to keep moving this along.
Yeah.
She's exactly. She's a great addition to this show. She really is.
Well, we agree. Awesome. We couldn't agree more. She's a pistol and smart and a great journalist and a lot of fun.
Right. And you see politicians looking at her. She's sort of diminutive. So they have to kind of look down and try to figure out what's coming. And then the next thing you know, she literally like jumps up and bites them. It's like she's like a velociraptor. You know, it's like, and all of a sudden they're like,
that's good.
They're like, wait, where did that come from? And
she's tough and she's got so much hustle. Like, here's an example. So last week, you remember when the Manafort hearings were going on, Matt Gaetz tweeted out this, you know, ridiculous, I mean, this threat against Michael Cohen.
Right.
Alex was there in the halls, and what did she do? She immediately just marched to his office, like crashed the door and like did an interview with him right, you know, a minute after that tweet went out. Right. I never would have done that. I never would have thought to do it. And if I thought to do it, I was like, oh, he's not going to be there. They won't let me in. She said, screw that, I'm going. And just barges right in. She's great. Yeah. She's a velociraptor, right? That's, I love that description.
Yes.
Right. So will she.
Don't say I said it, just in case. All right. Well, you know, congratulations on all this. We really hope that this... that we get something in the next couple of days, which we know we are not going to get out of Mueller, but we look forward to. Are you wrapping it up on Sunday? What's it going to feel like on Sunday?
it's going to feel like a huge cliffhanger, both kind of on the Trump legal front, the Trump legislative front, and 2025. It's just like we have all these things happening. We don't know what the resolution to any of it is, but it's pretty compelling stuff, and everybody's dialed in, right?
Yeah. It lays out the fact that we've been sitting here for the last 3 years in a strange limbo anyway, because he totally changed the tenor and the feel of American politics. And you started to see he drew so much attention and light. You started to see other people act in ways that you just sometimes you couldn't believe, because they thought they could get away with it because nobody was going to be paying any attention, or they could say finally what was on their mind, and they thought that, you know, now it's okay to say. Some people have learned you have to be Donald Trump to say really outrageous things and get away with it, but you know, that's all happened. It's just changed the way everything works in politics and in media and in entertainment even. It's like who knew that he could have one human could have this kind of an impact? Let alone a president.
Yeah, not just here, but around the world.
Right.
And you know, if we pitched this show as fiction, they would have thrown us out on our ear as it being just way too unbelievable.
Yeah. So, well, unfortunately, we I don't know if we're ever going to wake up from this, but if we do, we're going to. It's one of those things. You're not going to believe the dream I had. Oh my God.
Well, we love being with you. You're one of the smartest guys in the biz, and I always love doing your show because I learn a lot when I talk to you. Oh, so thank you.
That's so nice of you to say, Mark. Talk to you soon. Appreciate it.
Kick it hard. Carry on regardless.
Thanks. All right, there is Mark McKinnon.
What did he say? I like that. Kick it hard, carry on regardless?
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yes. That's Texas thing.
Yeah.
No, in Texas, they got an expression for everything. All right, let's check in now, find out from Kim what's happening at the bottom of the hour.
The ACLU's weighing in on President Trump's veto of his emergency declaration.
Rokan Show with Anna DeBlasis right here on WGN Everywhere. Lori Loughlin. See, now I have to call her Lori Loughlin because she demands it, is saying that, first of all, she just got fired from the Hallmark Channel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what was she doing on the Hallmark Channel? Does anybody have any idea?
Every single movie. she was in a lot of the movies.
So she was an actress in the movies. She didn't like have her own show or something.
No, but she appeared in a lot of the, you know, all the movies are individual. And she appeared in many of them.
Like,
so she was one of their main actresses for all their different movies.
So Home for Christmas, Home the Week After Christmas.
On the Road for Christmas.
Right.
Do they even have shows? I thought it was like all movies.
I don't know. It's not one of the places I stopped the Hallmark
Channel. I always confuse Hallmark with Lifetime, and they're very different. Yeah, they're basically opposites. Different.
I only watch Hallmark during Christmas because I just love those silly Christmas
movies. It's always some woman who's like lost her ways, and she was, you know, turned into this businesswoman.
And she meets the love of her life.
Right, like lost all her values, and then she gets in a car accident, and she can't remember where she's from. But then there's like this handsome bachelor whose wife died.
It's not even that complex.
Well, that's the gist of it. And then they like bring her into the home, which is like, you know, a massive log cabin, and then they fall in love, and then she recaptures the whole holiday Christmas spirit.
Right.
And there you go. It's a recipe that works.
There. Exactly.
Hallmark will no longer work with Loughlin on any future projects. She is currently in a series regular on Hallmark's drama When Calls the Heart.
Oh, I love that one.
Same premise as Christmas, trust me.
That one's a tearjerker.
When?
W-H-E-N.
Yes. When
Calls the Heart.
Like, yeah. Like, what time's the heart calling? It's sort of like that. My doctor once asked me that.
That sounds like whoever pitched the title or the name messed it up, but they didn't want to correct themselves.
Right. No, that's what I meant. Totally, that's what I meant. We're keeping that one. I came up with it, and we're sticking to it. I almost kind of feel bad for Lori Loughlin at this point.
What? Because?
Because, like, her life is over now. She didn't kill anybody.
Don't make bad decisions.
She's a rich person who paid to get her kid into college. That's never happened in the history of America. She's wrong. But does her life have to be completely ruined over this?
I'd like to pick up on Lauren's question, or her imploring humans not to make bad decisions. There would be no entertainment industry if people didn't make bad decisions. Just would like you to understand that, so be careful here, because that's, I think, our whole business model is based on that. She's also in Garage Sale Mysteries.
Oh, that's a good one.
Garage Sale Mysteries. Oh, my God.
That one keeps you on the edge of your seat. You can't look away.
Now, what's interesting here is that Lori and Massimo, her husband, and Olivia Jade spent their spring break cruising to the Bahamas with a yacht owning friend, it says here. But Lachlan is reportedly still in search of ride or dies of her own in the wake of her arrest, because apparently there are not a lot of friends. People are not calling her back. Where's Uncle Jesse on this, I wonder?
I don't know. Olivia Jade, her daughter, was on the USC Board of Trustees official yacht. They own a yacht, and she was on the yacht while her mom was getting arrested. They had to get her off. They didn't think it would be appropriate if they kept her on the yacht to party while her mom was in the
And now she's no longer welcome in school.
She's leaving USC.
I heard she dropped out. I was wondering if that was true.
She says she has no intentions to go back to the university.
She had no intentions to go to the university.
That's a great point.
So why should that change anything?
To quit.
Yeah. What was actually going on there in terms of her... was she actually in class for this? She's a freshman, right? So the first semester would be over. So was she ever there in the first semester?
How many credit hours? What were her grades? Yeah. So many questions.
What are you majoring in, Olivia Jade? I don't know. Partying?
I was supposed to... Can you play that again? Can you find the Olivia Jade thing? Because if there's one total villain in this, it's this 18-year-old. Which I hate the fact that it's got to be like this kid. But it's the parent... All right, so you understand, as a parent, who's already been through the, you know, getting their kid into college and all of
that.
How
much did you pay? Kidding.
It was, trust me, everybody makes donations.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with making a donation. And it happened to have been my alma mater, so I was making donations anyway.
There you go.
She was a legacy. It worked out.
Library needs a little upgrading? Sure, I'm here for you. How much?
And she's now I've gotten her into the, now she makes donations just in case, you know, at some point.
Right.
Years down the line, she has a child that wants to go. That's how you go.
And then the whole college thing, yep, I'm going. I'm living in a dorm with a roommate who's so sweet. With work, it's going to be hard. Like, my first week of school, I'm leaving to go to Fiji for work.
Yeah.
And then I'll be in New York a bunch this year for work and traveling to a different country because I'm creating something with this country, and that's for work. So I don't know how much of school I'm going to attend, but I'm going to go in and talk to my deans and everyone and hope that I can try and balance it all. But I do want the experience of, like, game days, parties. I don't really care about school, as you guys all know.
What other country do you think she was going to? Montana? Where else could she have been? Colorado? What other countries are there?
She was supposedly on the rowing team. That was her thing.
No, you know, relation.
No relation. And it's been all sort of these, like, the less popular sports. It's not like, you know, it's like sailing and pole vaulting, and she was... took a picture on a rowing machine and submitted it as part of her application to USC. But she was never on the team.
Did she even row one stroke?
I doubt it. Said, Mom, here's my iPhone. Take a picture of me on the rowing machine.
You're in, honey.
She's given a paddle. She's like, what is this?
Right. The hell is this? What am I supposed to do here? I got to work?
Is this punishment?
I want to go to a party and go to USC football games and hang out with Snoop Dogg there.
We have a piece of tape from When Calls the Heart. As well.
Oh boy.
Yes. Here we go.
Are you okay?
I remember when I didn't have a mom.
But you have one now.
Yeah, but what about these boys?
Well, maybe one day they'll have a mom too. But until then, they have Lillian and Grace.
Yeah. I don't think they'll ever be as lucky as me.
Oh, Cody.
I wish I could do something for them.
Well, who says you can't?
I haven't been this emotional since The Star Is Born.
I hear Oscar calling.
Tearjerker!
Do we have any idea what the context of that was?
Moms appearing from the sky? They're like, someday they'll have a mom.
That's a mom and a son, I'm assuming? Or a boy? Lost boy?
I thought it was a daughter.
Pirate. Whatever. All right. Somali pirate.
What about these other in the Christmas movie? There's like angels.
What about these other boys on the boat? What about them? Well, they're Somali pirates. They'll be fine.
Mom!
Maybe one day they will buy or kidnap moms. The fact that there is so much bandwidth now, then they just have to fill it with things like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't understand.
Never ending.
All right. Well, that's just, we now know that Lori Loughlin does not know who her friends are, Loughlin. She also doesn't know how to pronounce her last name, because I'm pronouncing it Loughlin.
I'm officially on the I feel bad for Aunt Becky now.
Really? Would you like to hear a little clip from Garage Sale Mysteries?
Oh,
would you like
one.
To hear that?
That one's a good one.
Dr. Trammell.
Jennifer.
I brought cookies.
Cookies. Now, let me ask you this. Why was Sir Lancelot always tired?
I don't know.
He worked the night shift.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, now that we got that over with, I assume McNary's cause of death was trauma to the head?
Yes, my first mace murder and a very effective weapon.
Is there anything else that might have contributed to his death?
Possibly the blow from the mace came from behind.
That sounded to me like a sexual harassment video more than it did anything else. That's like sexual harassment Hallmark style.
Here's what not to do in the workplace.
Right. I'm going to make a joke now, and all of my jokes are going to be at night or blowing from behind.
See, now that's the slow transition to a Lifetime movie. They're just making the way.
Right. See, that is what it is. Next thing you know, someone's catching fire. Somebody get murdered, or there's going to be something bad. Although the Lifetime movie, you at least know what it's about from the title. That's the one thing that Lifetime offers you that apparently Hallmark does not. Because I do not know when whatever happened, whenever it happened.
The Lifetime title's a little more self-explanatory.
Exactly.
When the wife turns on the family and kills everyone.
Yes, exactly. Well, it's actually the husband.
Yeah, it's always the husband. My
husband, right.
It's always any male is awful and a murderer.
The first guy they show.
My husband, when a husband cheats.
Wonder
what this is about.
And then goes rogue.
All right, let's check in now with Kim. Do we have to do a break or Kim? I don't understand this. Just write to Kim. Kim, what's going on in the news? Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here at 720 WGN, but not really 720 WGN. It's WGN everywhere right now. We're on the World Wide Webs, and we don't need to tell you how to get here because you got here. I don't know I don't even know how to get here. What I do is I just yell at my Alexa. Mm-hmm. I can yell at her now because now she's coming through people's Alexa.
But doesn't it still trigger it?
It might.
Yeah.
Alexa, keep us on. I'm sorry, I don't know what that means.
Never turn this off.
I don't want some people's alarms. That would be wrong. But anyway, I just yell at that, and I say, you know, play WGN Radio on TuneIn. And next thing I know, she does.
Easy peasy.
Yeah. And then it's, you know, it pops up. It might be 4 or 5 minutes behind, but I like it.
Yeah, it's tough if you're trying to win tickets and you got to call in.
Don't give away the secret on that. Please. All right. Oh, so speaking of winning tickets and speaking of baseball, since baseball's on the 7:20 a.m., baseball just announced it's changing its rules. It's the slow rollout of the rules change, but they totally wussed out on the whole designated hitter situation.
No
which
DH.
I thought was going to be the deal.
No DH yet. The fact that the DH, and I know there are so many people are so passionate about keeping the DH in the National League. But the DH, without question, should be in both leagues. It's kind of ridiculous at this point. So no DH. Most of the big changes aren't coming till 2020. 2019, some minor changes. Mound visits trimmed from 6 to 5. Innings breaks.
A mound visit by anybody.
Right. If
you stop the game for a mound visit, even if the shortstop comes over and says, hey, what are we having for dinner?
Right.
That's
right. Hey, is that your girlfriend in the fifth row behind home plate?
That's more likely.
Yes,
that's more likely.
Also, I just saved 15% on car insurance.
anytime game stoppages, so five times.
Yes, six to five. Innings breaks are shortened, so it goes from 2:05 to just straight 2 minutes in local games.
Five seconds off.
National broadcast games are trimming 20 seconds off in between innings.
From what was it?
It was 2:25 to 2:20. So 2:25 to 2 minutes. in his breaks.
All right.
Okay, so those are just the sort of not huge...
So they want to shorten the games, and basically what you just told me is that they just shorten the games by 4.5 minutes.
There you go.
Right, out of a 3-hour and 30-minute or whatever it happens to be, 3-hour and 15-minute.
Yeah, I think on average last year it was like 3:07.
So now it's going to be down to 3. They want to get under 3.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Let's get 4 minutes here.
Right.
A one-bound visit.
Hey, right, they'll take whatever they can get at this point. The game has to speed up. I've said that it's more about the pace of the entire thing.
2 hours.
You consume.
Then you,
2 hours.
I love that. Move right along.
I love that.
what's the point?
The most significant changes are coming in 2020, and you may have heard about this minimum number of batters a pitcher has to face. That's going to go into effect in 2020. So every pitcher has to face 3 batters unless it's an end of an inning.
And then so you can't bring a guy in to throw one strike.
Exactly, which happens quite often. They're known as one-out specialists in baseball, particularly a lefty. They call him a loogie, a lefty one-out guy specialist, whatever it is. They want to avoid this. The manager with the bum knees taking his time getting to the mound, limping his way from the dugout to the mound as we all watch the very slow. And, of course, they're taking their time to give the guy extra time. The manager walks out there. He takes out the pitcher. They bring in the specialist. He throws one pitch, gets the guy out. Now the righty's up to bat. Let's go get the righty specialist. And the manager walks back out from the dugout.
Drags one leg.
Drags one leg. He somehow is, yes, he's limping even more all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
Bring that guy in, he gets et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Those are the dead periods that just bore the hell out of you when you're watching the game. I don't care how much you love baseball. I love the game, but it's horrible because it's basically a 15 to 20 minute window of almost no action. None.
That's why you go to hockey, you watch about 3 goals get scored, and then you come back
there
and
you
it's
go.
The same inning.
Pick up some action.
Yeah.
So that's what they're trying to avoid here. The players are not happy about it. Man, Joe Maddon was sounding off about it. The players seem to be...
Why is Joe Maddon upset? Because it's less camera time for him.
It's less camera time and it's less strategy in some ways.
Oh, because he's a strategic genius.
Right.
Well, I was at the one game playoff.
Yeah.
I don't know that strategy worked for him.
I know how fans feel about him. Isn't it pretty amazing that the guy that led them to the
first... I don't have a problem. I'm not. I'm not one of those guys.
And a lot of fans do though. I mean, they won the World Series, and some fans were like, "Because of the stress you put me through, Joe, I want you out." I'm like, he just led you to the World Series.
Everybody wants to make him into some sort of a karmic guru or a genius. And this is a baseball manager. Baseball managers are baseball managers. There's a reason that they don't hire baseball managers at the Argonne National Laboratory, right? This is like it's a totally different world.
Sure.
And so he's good. And I like the fact. I mean, I want a guy who's going to make everybody feel at ease. But there is too much. There is too much finagling now in the system. Where you are able to, you send the pitching coach out.
Right.
Right? And he's always super fat. And you're like, what is he doing as the pitching coach?
You're right. The pitching coaches always are.
Right. Why do they have to go out? What is it? I mean, I know they're just wasting time, right? They're getting the guy ready in the bullpen.
Hey, is that your girlfriend in the 5th row behind home plate?
I think I saw your wife in the 7th row.
What? Send help. Get an intern over there. Get her out of there.
Right. So they come out. The pitching coach comes out. He waddles out.
He's got bum knees as well. They all do.
Right. And then and you always just see the pitching coach just standing there.
Right. Because they're buying time. That's what they're doing. They're buying time for a guy in the bullpen warming up. That's the sorts of things baseball is trying to get out of the game. And look, in some ways, these teams have almost outsmarted the game, which is baseball's game. You've never thought that would even become close to possible with how complex it is. But in some ways, they have because of all the crazy stats and the science that goes into baseball now, and basically figuring out risk and reward and those sorts of things. So in some ways, it's made the game more interesting. But the pace of play has got to be fixed. It has to help this game thrive. I mean, you think some kid who's 8 years old going to sit and watch a baseball game for 3.5 hours? No, there's less action. Guys are swinging.
And they could be on Halo.
They could be on Halo. Fortnite's the hot
Fortnite,
game right now.
Okay.
Fortnite.
Yeah. All right.
Using their dad's credit card to buy certain treasures and whatever, however the hell they play that game.
I need new shield.
Right. Dad? Credit card. So I think that's the biggest thing. And players and the managers don't like it because it takes strategy out of the game. And the managers want to be worth something. They want to be the ones that say, whoa, 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 I matter. You know, Joe Madden does have an ego. They all have egos, and if you take out less strategy, it means the manager matters less. So I'm a fan of it. I think it's going to be interesting. I don't think it's as... I'm a fan of it. I can't wait to see how it goes in 2020. There are also some roster changes and things like that in baseball.
Yes.
In 2020.
Well, which I don't understand. I used to love it when in September 1st, there were guys who you never heard of and you're never going to hear of again.
Right.
Who come up and the announcers are all trying to figure out how to pronounce their names.
Right.
And they're like, well, this, and they drafted this guy. They had little notes on the guy. Well, they drafted this guy out of the Caribbean League in 1962, but somehow he still looks like he's 12. And you're like, what? I don't understand why we'll never hear from these people again if they bring them up so many, but they're not going to allow that anymore. Now they're going to go from 40 to 28 or something.
So you're referring to the September call-ups, which is when the roster doesn't always have to expand all the way to 40, but it allowed teams, if they wanted to expand their roster from 25 to 40.
Mm-hmm.
That also has had an indirect effect on pace of play, believe it or not.
Oh, I believe it.
Because why? Because managers have more arms to work with then, meaning the specialist. I mean, the September games are
horrifying.
Horrifying, especially when it's two teams out of it, because it's like a spring training game. The managers want to play everybody. They got a guy called up, okay, put him in.
Which goes to argue, why September? Why?
That's a good question.
Because they're out of it.
Because minor league plays over by then, I guess is probably a big reason. And but they are expanding from, so they're going from 25 to you can now have 26.
Oh.
So they're giving an extra job. So the players like that. So you can go from 25 to 26.
For regular
season.
Right.
Exactly. But
so
no more 40-man roster.
Is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Or a Aragi.
Out one guy specialist. So now they can expand. They're going to go from 40 to you can go to 28 now for September call-ups. You can call up a couple more players.
So the guy from Caribbean Ball who's been called up for the last 10 years in a row.
Exactly. He's still going to have a shot.
Right, because they want to set some sort of a record for calling a guy up and never ever using him.
Right.
Or worse yet, it's a guy who's been playing in the instructional league for the last 15 years.
I'll give him a shot
from Arkansas.
Right, Bolt Durham type
right exactly. Yeah. Who's literally his right arm is four times the size of his left arm.
Tommy John like three times. I'm hanging in there. He's the guy with the massive pack on his shoulder after throwing one inning.
Right. He's a guy that just prayed he could get in so he can get a baseball card out of it. All right. Well, I don't know. None of the big stuff happened. And if you really want to shorten up the game, first of all, taking commercial time out is a bad idea because that screws up the networks on the network games, because then the network games, although it doesn't really impact ESPN because they only play Yankees, Red Sox anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But it does kind of hurt the revenue piece, which is what the baseball contracts are all about for the networks.
Yeah, but they're already so highly paid.
That's true.
Well, but they would make the argument, and the networks are making the argument now, especially because baseball is going to come off television in 2020, right? In a lot of ways, except for the networks. Like if you want to watch local baseball starting in 2020. You're going to have to see it on, you're going to have to, you know, pay for the marquee network with the Cubs. Still hasn't been officially announced what's going to happen with the White Sox. But you're going to eventually, you know, then, so your local TV stations may get a couple of games, maybe, but you'll have to wait for ESPN or Fox Network or whatever it happens to be for the big games when you get around the playoffs.
Yeah, in many ways, the teams are basically taking it in their own hands, and like, look what the Cubs are doing with the Marquee Network. And it's all
what
the
are
Cubs.
They do? I don't understand a thing of what they're doing with the Marquee Network.
They're still sort. They launched a YouTube channel, and they say that sort of will give you kind of a glimpse of what they're planning. It's going to be all original, a lot of original Cubs programming and behind the scenes type things, and then obviously the games. And they're going to charge you for it. Believe me. But Tom Ricketts telling us on day one of spring training, why aren't you guys going for Bryce Harper or any of these top free agents? Well, we don't have any more money. And just about every reporter did a spit take. Their coffee simultaneously went flying out of our mouths hearing Tom Ricketts speak those words. The Cubs don't have any more money. How much does it cost to take a family to a Cubs game? You got to take out a second mortgage. It's crazy.
I would like them to fix the men's rooms on the the left field wall. I would like that done. But I don't. And if I'm going to ask him for one thing, I don't really need Bryce Harper as much as I need to pee. That is,
and not wait in the line for 20 minutes and miss half an inning.
The White Sox have got the pee part all figured out.
They do.
It's easier to go.
And you can easily find where you're sitting, unlike at Wrigley.
That's true.
And that's coming from someone that doesn't go there very often. But every time, I cannot find my seat properly. It is very difficult.
And sometimes the seats don't face the right way. Have you noticed that?
Next train.
I'm looking at these other bleachers.
Yeah. It's almost, when they were redoing it, they were aiming, because it used to be at Fenway in Boston, that all the seats just went straight forward. So if you were down the right field line or the left field line,
they didn't angle them.
No, you were just looking out into space. Is what you were looking
you
at.
You left the game with the next train.
Oh, look at that plastic bag. Oh, that flew by really nicely.
Yeah, exactly. And you'd have to turn around. You have to look. Yeah. Okay, I got it. I got it. And then the guy sitting next to you go, "Hey, get out of the way." And I thought, well, all right. So when they fixed that, I thought, well, if in Boston at Fenway, if they could do that, why wouldn't they do that at Wrigley? And when they redid everything at Wrigley, they somehow still have me facing. If you're out on, pretty far out, left or right,
like down the line, you mean?
Down the line, you're sort of not in. You're sort of a little, still not quite looking at where you're supposed to be looking.
Down the left field line, you're staring at the right field bleachers.
Yes.
Instead of more the infield reaction.
Especially on the upper deck.
I'd like to envision that it's like one out of every three chairs down a line instead of all of them, because that would make for an interesting view. Just looking at some people going straight and the others not.
Well, now you get to look at the clubs, though. You get to look at everybody. See, they've really made it into, Wrigley is really America now, where you get to watch the rich people very comfortable drinking and having a great time, and a guy like serving them Chateaubriand.
Right.
While you're stuck looking, only able to look at them and not actually at the game that you paid for.
Like that club they built behind home plate, and there's like two big security guards. Like, what am I at a club? And you walk in there, and it's like unbelievable.
Yeah.
Shrimp platters, seafood towers.
I don't even get what goes on. And I have the great privilege of being able to spend $14 for a beer while I'm looking at some people. And no one's paying any attention. It's like when they did this in L.A. It was the dumbest thing I had ever seen. When L.A. they did eventually get away with it. Now we just have to look at Larry King and the lady from Entertainment Tonight now sitting back there, aging somewhat ungracefully. That they put a club behind home plate.
Yeah.
And no one was paying any attention to the game. You'd be watching from the center field camera, and people just milling around, talking to each other, making a deal. And it was, and then you'd stop and you go, "Hey, isn't that Jerry Seinfeld?"
Right. And all of your personal waiters. Now that's what they did at Dodger Stadium, all around home plate and down the line, because there's so many celebrities that go to the games. It's all like private. You can walk through the Lexus Club. Just give me a beer and a hot dog, and let me post up in the seats.
All right. Okay, everybody stay right where you are. We're going to find out from Kim what's going on at the top of the hour. Is there anything of great import?
Oh, there's a lot going on. An Islamic group says President Trump's actions may be partially to blame for the New Zealand attack.
Concho with Anna DeBlantis, WGN Everywhere. Back on the 7:20, sometime in the 6 o'clock hour, when the White Sox Cubs game coming away from Glendale ends. All right, we're going to do a top five. We got a Carnarvon wagon that's about to roll. You're not going to want to miss this Carnarvon wagon, because it's the patient zero of the Carnarvon wagon, John Enright from Bluestone in Evanston. And the man basically almost got me to commit a forcible felony years ago. During a
Is that the only
broadcast.
Time that's become a risk for you?
On the radio, yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, I can't even say that. That's maybe perhaps many more times on the radio, but I can't really speak to them now because Mike Monaco isn't in studio with us at the moment, and he covers me on all of that. And we also have got a top five at five that you won't believe. And now there is breaking news that Olivia Jade, Lachlan Chinulius, whatever
Massimo Jr., whatever.
Yeah. Was, and we're just getting details of this right now. Apparently, she was on a game show on the Verizon, on one of the Verizon, like, direct to your phone, to your iPad kind of shows that they were doing. And it was a game show that she was appearing on, and while they were shooting it, she lost the game show. It was re-edited for her to win the game show before it actually was fed out on the Verizon network.
How much did they pay for that?
Exactly.
That's unbelievable.
Right. Exactly right.
And what did she win?
I mean, this girl has literally been handed everything in her life.
Lifestyle vlogger Olivia J. Giannulli took on fellow influencer Marissa Rachel and singer Rydell Lynch in a 2016 episode of Tap That.
That could be so many things.
I know. I actually, I've seen Tap That, and that's not what it was. That was on a different website, though. Tap That.
I do love Tap That.
All right, so Marissa Rachel was declared the winner in front of a live audience, but studio executives mysteriously stepped in and ordered producers to reshoot. Rydell was visibly upset. Rydell and a visibly upset Marissa were allegedly under orders not to buzz in with correct answers.
Oh my God.
Wait for her.
Is this surfaced? Is this like, can we get this?
And the President of the United States is
Olivia Jade? I don't know.
Can't trust anything anymore if you can't trust game shows.
Oh, for sure. She took home, Olivia Jade took home first prize, $5,000 donation to a charity of her choice.
Okay, at least it wasn't to her.
It probably went to, what's his name's charitable fund?
That's for rich people?
When executives reshot the final questions, they asked Rachel to repeat an incorrect answer. While cutting out the question, she answered correctly.
Oh my God.
Oh, my God. I mean, talk about a rigged system. Can I just ask a question? Why are we rigging the system for Olivia J. Giannulli? Is she a religious figure?
Is there something
we need to know about
her? She's a lifestyle vlogger, Ro. That's a big thing in 2019. She's an influencer. That's what they call them these days. Influencer.
Okay. Does it say where the $5,000 went to? Because that ought to be really good. And, you know, it probably didn't go anywhere.
Right.
It went to the Massimo Foundation.
Right. Which then went to the fake charitable foundation that helps get college students into college.
Yeah, here, we'll give you the giant check that says $5,000, and we trust you'll bring it to the right place.
You'll do the right thing, Olivia Jade.
Later in the same interview, let's see, there was an interview where, the Zach Sang show. Does anybody know what the Zach Sang show is?
Sounds made up.
Am I supposed to know about it?
Never. Because
this thing keeps popping up here. She gave an interview to this Zach Sang show, and she said of her father, founder of Massimo Clothing, he like built his whole entire brand, and he wasn't actually like, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, ever enrolled in college. Did you see this where she claims that her dad got her parents to pay for college. Got his parents to pay for college. His parents. And he never showed up in college. And he just took the money, had him send the money to him and said, well, I'll pay for it. So send the money to me. And he never was there. And he was able to get around the whole thing.
It's a rigged system, bro. I feel cheated. I feel dirty after this whole thing.
Well, now we know why she's an awful human being. Because so is her dad.
Well, Massimo, though, now it's a big deal what he does, right? The Massimo clothing line is big?
I have no idea.
It's like Target's big, like, it's like their own in-house clothing line, basically. Massimo. If you go buy clothes at Target, it's Massimo.
Oh, Massimo.
It's like their upscale brand, I think.
It's their upscale brand. Yeah. So, because I only buy, like, like workout shorts at Target. I don't know. And underwear. And it's generally when I'm on the road and I've
and you've
like
run out.
And I've either run out or I've forgotten. And I was like, damn it!
Yeah, I just feel weird, with all due respect to Target, buying like expensive clothes at Target. But yeah, it's like their higher end thing. It's their in-house top-end brand.
Okay. All right. So, in other words, it's the Lachlan Massimos are essentially, it's everything is fake.
Pretty much,
from the product all the way on down to like the get their kids into school.
Pretty much, right.
And her career on the Hallmark Channel. All right, let's check in now. It's the top of the hour, somewhere thereabouts. Let's check in and find out what's Kim's news at 5 o'clock. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeLantis right here on 720 WGN. All right.
My sounding busy papers.
Yes, that's exactly what I do. That's right, Lauren Lapka. Newest addition to the Rokan Show with Anna DeLantis. And Mr. Richard Roper is here. Mr. Kevin Powell has stepped out. We do. I will say this. I know that we're on the web, and so there are fewer rules.
And don't tell me that.
We will be kind of taking advantage of that because coming up, we do have John Enright for the Carnarvon Wagon. John Enright is the proprietor of Bluestone Restaurant on Central in Evanston. He is the patient zero of the Carnarvon Wagon.
Yeah,
he
was first team All-Pro.
Yes, one of the first Carnarvon Wagon, when we started having Carnarvon Wagon people come in. As
Carnarvon OG, as the kids say.
Sure.
We used to just serve ourselves on the Carnarvon Wagon, and then all of a sudden we started inviting restaurant tours and bartenders that we had taken a liking to over the years. And John will tell the story about the fateful night.
I can't wait to hear this.
Yes, yeah. Back about a decade ago when I was forcibly removed from the studio as a result of some...
Is there video of this? I would love to see this.
Well, I think
there
in honor of your first Carnarvon Wagon, Lauren, we're having John in because since he is like, you know, the first, he's like co-founder. There's two or three guys that, you know, we're all kind of starting. We had all the time. But John gets credit as being sort of the innovator of the official sponsored Carnarvon Wagon. And so we're doing that just for you. And
so honored.
Yeah, I don't know how you're going to feel about this in about an hour. Yeah, but I know now.
Disown it.
Yeah, it's going to be. It really is something.
Carnarvon ownership is sort of like, you know, all the guys that think they claim they came up with. Whoop, there it is. Then it was no. It was whoop. There it is. No, it was whoop. There it is.
I don't know. Don't go there.
But it's the original
tag team.
We shall see what happens
Atlanta.
Here with our. With as it rolls, because it's, and people will always ask as you become a part of the cast here, people will stop you and they will say, hey, do they really drink on the Carnarvon Wagon? And you'll be able to answer it based on what happens today.
Now you can say yes, I joined them.
I could say, I'm not quite sure it tasted like it, but I could never prove it.
Yeah.
There you go.
Right. Well, you might see that's the problem. That's why we want to make sure that people don't actually have to prove it, like in a law enforcement sort of way. Isn't it time for this? Now let's move along.
The top five on the Rokan Show.
Five, let's go. Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna DeFlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five.
The president today vetoed, and I was really hoping he was going to spell it V-I-T-O on Twitter. I was really hoping for that.
Veto!
Danny,
hey, yo, veto!
Danny DeVetoed this, which means we were short of votes by a couple of rules.
Oh, very nice. Nicely done.
President Trump, when he announced the veto today, he railed against illegal immigration. And he said that this indeed is a national emergency.
Last month, more than 76,000 illegal migrants arrived at our border. We're on track for 1 million illegal aliens to rush our borders. People hate the word invasion, but that's what it is. It's an invasion of drugs and criminals and people. We have no idea who they are, but we capture them because border security is so good. but they're put in a very bad position, and we're bursting at the seams.
That's a million in a year, right? They get a million people in one day in the lakefront for the Air and Water Show. I'm not 100% sure that that counts as and it's, what is it, an 800-mile border, I think? I get it. I get we want border security. I understand that. I'm for that. He's making this part up, though, and everybody knows it, including himself.
This is everything for him. He's going all in on it.
I honestly feel like he made a promise to someone that he was going to get this done, and that is why he's fighting so hard. I can't prove that. I don't know who it would
be.
But just a thought.
Now, who was going to pay for that originally? I can't remember.
I think it started with an M.
Sounds epic. No, an N. I think it was an N. Wait, there's more.
We've really nowhere left to hold all of the people that we're capturing. And we're at a point where we're just going to have to say, with these horrible decisions that we've been handed by people that aren't living in reality, that there's nothing we can do. There's absolutely nothing we can do. We're bursting at the seams. You can only do so much. And the only option then is to release them. But we can't do that either, because when you release them, they come into our society. And in many cases, they're stone-cold criminals.
We're bursting at the seams. Have you seen the Southwest Desert of the United States? What is he saying he's going to do there, though? I didn't understand what he was. Yeah. Okay, you know, it's too bad. And then what does that mean? What do we do? Because it sounded a little like that we're out of money. There's nothing we can do. So we're just going to push them back into Mexico, because Mexico's actually holding them now. That changed. Mexico now, when they come through, now it depends on, we're talking about the borderless area, right, where they're finding people. And then are we going to just chopper them over to the other side and leave them there again? I don't understand what's the solution.
I don't think he even knows.
He doesn't know as he's speaking. Also bursting at the seams, his size 58 Sansibelt golfing slacks.
Oh, so, that's unfair.
For those of you,
I feel his pain.
Watching
number four.
The
I feel his pain.
There's an upset brewing on Chicago's far north side. Veteran 40th Ward Alderman Pat O'Connor is using a new campaign tactic in what's shaping up to be the toughest re-election battle of his career. He faces Andre Vasquez in the upcoming runoff. Vasquez has racked up endorsements from several progressive organizations and officials, including the Chicago Teachers Union, SEIU, and more. In the late 90s and early 2000s, Vasquez, now in a senior management position at a major utility company. Do we have to say that because because they didn't pay for the advertising? What's the utility company? I don't know what that means.
Competitor of ASPS.
Yeah, I know. Right? Sort of like, we can maintain.
Don't mention their name, damn
right,
it.
This is a show on a major network. What are you talking about? But before he was there, he was a rapper under the stage name Prime.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting background.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of got some of that MP3 still.
Well, it turns out that we do.
My Zoom.
Well, it turns out that Pat O'Connor is like, all right, he's afraid he's going to lose, and then they find out this guy was a rapper, so they're going to put out some of the stuff that Prime did in his prime.
Found that I need spot where there's an open mic. Well, the only time y'all snap is lip syncing on karaoke night. Holding mics on a slight buzz, beating.
I'd like to see Pat O'Connor do this.
That'd be great. At the parade tomorrow. And props to the, I heard an Edward Norton and Fight Club reference there, so that was good. I like that.
Oh, Vasquez had a good run.
And just for fun, just yell out, hey, Pat O'Connor, any bar you walk in tomorrow.
Yeah, everyone's going to turn.
And
Pat O'Connor, for a while, right? When Pat O'Connor first got to the city council, he started, he was like, like an average, Northwest Side guy.
Mm-hmm.
Then he got to know Ed Burke, and he started making his hair look just like Ed Burke's. He started dressing,
pinstripe suits and all that.
Pinstripe, double-breasted suits, and he would slick his hair back, and he did this whole thing, and I'm like, it was like in school, where all of a sudden, like, the new kid would end up having to be just like the guy who was, like, the head of the captain of the football team.
Popular kid.
Yeah. That was ridiculous.
Who's got my tinted glasses and my VO5?
Right. Checking in at
number three.
Longtime Jeopardy host Alex Trebek has thanked the hundreds of thousands of people who have offered support and rallied behind him following his cancer diagnosis. He said he has stage 4 pancreatic cancer, he said last week.
I've heard from former contestants. Even Watson, the IBM computer, sent me a get well card. Now, obviously, I won't be able to respond to all of you individually, but I did want you to know that I do read everything I receive. And I am thankful for the kind words, the prayers, and the advice you have offered. And I'm extremely touched by the warmth you have expressed in your comments to me. I'm a lucky guy.
Wow. Mm.
Such a class act.
I know. It's very brave.
Absolutely.
Too.
Yep.
It's hard because it's, you know, whatever he's going to have to endure here for the treatment. And again, pancreatic cancer has a pretty low survival rate past 5 years. He says he's going to work all the way through it. And he's just one of those guys that, that everybody has respect for.
Yep.
I've never heard a bad word about him in the entertainment industry. About him, you know, having a blue vein around some contestant or something, you know, where all of a sudden he's screaming at him, "What do you need to know the answer to that?
Idiot."
Yeah. Oh, the great thing about him is he'll just do that on the show sometimes. Like, really? That you're betting that much?
Although, you know, he does have the answers.
Which that makes it easier.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah.
Ask the children of certain celebrities.
Right. Checking in at
number two.
When Michael Cohen produced an email to back up his claim that Donald Trump had dangled a pardon in exchange for his silence, the lawyer who sent the email defended it by saying that that friends in high places line was merely a Garth Brooks reference.
That low places song?
Yeah, good.
So, on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, the cold open clip did a parody of this.
How many people do you think have the work of Prime and Garth Brooks on their playlist together? What's the overlap there? Not big?
Probably not a whole lot.
Just Kev. No. Kev.
Yeah.
He's the only person in that overlapping circle.
I'm going to go with that, too.
And Beto.
All right. And finally.
Number one.
Kristen Cavallari. It's, what is this, episode 3?
It is.
Episode 3 this weekend?
That is correct. Of season 2.
Of season 2.
Yes.
Very Cavallari. The mother of 3 informs her husband. What is her husband's name again? I can't remember.
Well, he's always identified on the show in the graphic, Jay, Kristen's husband. Always call him that, which is awesome.
Jay Cavallari. She needs him to head into the store since shipping is a complete disaster for her company right now. Although Jay Cavallari is currently busy fixing up the new farmhouse, Kristen hopes he'll drop his home duties to write things at her company, Uncommon James.
I know that you always joke about going in, you know, and to see what's going on. Maybe you really should go in. Go in there and be the Jay that I know you are.
I'm not sure what that
biggest
means.
Biggest ass on the planet.
I don't feel like that's a compliment.
Go use it. Use it for me one time, please.
And there's no going back from this if you send me in there.
I'm all for it now. Jay already thinks he owns half of the company, so by me letting him go in, I'm potentially creating a monster.
Now, I like this because I'm familiar with this from many legal proceedings. When she says he already thinks he owns half the company. Because when this does inevitably fall apart,
oh, never.
Come that on. Will be you. 100% hers. Along with the chicken farm and Jay's football jersey collection. and whatever else she wants. That's how that's going to end.
The autographed footballs that were not going for anything.
I feel like Olivia Jade would fit right in with Kristen Cavallari and her friends.
Absolutely.
Oh,
believe,
God, you're such an...
More people famous for nothing.
Right.
She's one of those.
I believe Olivia Jade will be Jay Cutler's second wife,
is what I actually believe.
Right, there's more.
Hey.
Hi. So Jay walks in. Is my first thought.
Kristen just asked me to come down and observe a little bit, so...
Oh, God. We're all deer in headlights.
Ignore me. That's what you guys do all day.
You look very business. You're in your business,
well, this is a business setting, is it not?
How can anyone take smoking Jay seriously?
Jay
Come
is
on.
In this episode, I haven't seen the entire thing as part of my duties, of course. He is back in press conference Jay clothing for this, like the styled hair and the popping jacket and the.
So he's like burping as he's answering questions.
You know, and he's got the notepad and they treat it like Thanos is showing up at the end of the Avengers. There, Jay's showing up.
Yeah, why? Like, if Jay walked in, I'd be like, cool, this is like a substitute teacher walking in. We're going to do anything. This guy
because she's
care.
Got this cast of idiots working for her. And, you know, and relatively speaking, you know, he's Stephen Hawking, you know, compared to these people. So when he watches the operation, he's like, is that girl crying over there? Why is she crying? He's taking notes, crier. She's crier. Out.
As I recall, in his last three seasons, he was like Stephen Hawking, too, with the
Bears. Oh, see, there we go.
You guys got too many people down there for this to have shipping
issues. I agree. As two people who used to ship on Common James Jewelry, we know it better than anybody.
It's probably the best shipper this side of the Mississippi. The best employee you've ever had. That's a fact. You're talking about someone who did it all. I did it all. I was like your IT guy. I was your consultant, your shipper, the designer. I'm a part of our designer. Yeah.
For what? What have you designed?
A few things.
Tell me one thing.
I designed a logo for the little James.
You're not using it.
You can't. It's my design. I don't allow you to use it.
Good to see his ego hasn't changed.
Wow. So and people watch this, right? It's like it's one of the highest rated things. Huh?
Well, yeah. And the truth is, I think here in Chicago in particular, because people are just fascinated, even because it pretty much confirms a lot of what we thought about Jay, because we never got anything out of him in the press conferences. And now we're seeing him, you know, quote unquote, behind the scenes. And you're like, as she called him, as his own wife said, you're the biggest leap on the planet.
Unbelievable.
Everything we thought he was, he is.
Yes. Right, here's a guy, by the way, too. He's 37 years old. He made over $100 million, right, as a player. He's in perfect health, as far as we know. He's, you know, he's got, and, you know, most professional athletes, as much as, you know, we can criticize them, most of them get involved in foundations, and they're going to get another career, maybe in broadcast, coaching the kids, doing something. Jay's doing nothing.
Well, he was going to be in broadcast.
And he would have been good, but he didn't care.
Yeah.
Doesn't care about anything.
He's mastering video games, wearing camo outfits, feeding goats. He doesn't care.
Well, he's in this. I mean, there's cameras everywhere.
Do you think he really had a choice?
I think they couldn't have gotten the show greenlit without him. I think that's for sure.
Definitely.
I
mean,
anybody would have given a crap about her doing this if she weren't married.
I mean, she's got her following, but I think that's absolute. I think he has definitely become the breakout surprise.
They
star.
Wanted this. Like, wow. They needed. I mean, just having her talking about her line doesn't really.
Yeah,
mean,
all the dramas involving Kaylee and Colby and Brittany, because you have to have your name has to end with an E to be on the show. There's like nine different women. I am not kidding you. And none of them spell the name the way you're supposed to. Like, okay, Brittany, there's a couple of AIs in there, three N's.
Brittany.
Brittany's not at one point.
A question mark at the end of the name.
There was a point where they bring in some hunky guys from the gym to help move some stuff. And at one point, Colby had a crush on Cole, or Cole has a crush on Colby, and I'm not sure.
Classic mix-up.
One's a guy, one's a gal.
Sounds like a whole episode.
It's a whole subplot. It's kind of the Colby thing.
All right. Well, it's must-see television for
Sunday
nights.
Something. It's actually, you know, it's just actually no, it's not. Listen to the clips here and read my recap. Don't watch. That's all you need to do.
In the Chicago Sun-Times. We might mention suntimes.com.
Yeah.
All right, let's do this. Let's close it up, and then Kim's going to give you the WGN news.
The top five at five.
All yours, Kim.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Yeah! Drink, man, I'm going to get gas. Gonna get high, man, I ain't had enough. Leave me a
triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here?
Great, makes women appear more attractive, and makes a person virtually invulnerable to criticism.
Alcohol is a way of life. Alcohol is my way of life, and I aim to keep it.
Find it, buy it, make it, I don't care. Just get me some booze and fast.
I can't take this much longer. I gotta have a beer.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Will you be attending college, and if not, what's the next step on your career you wish to focus on? And then the whole college thing, yep, I'm going. I'm living in a dorm with a roommate who's so sweet. I don't know how much of school I'm going to attend, but I'm going to go in and talk to my deans and everyone and hope that I can try and balance it all. But I do want the experience of, like, game days, partying. I don't really care about school, as you guys all know.
Okay, because it's not cool to know things. Hey, the other thing there that was kind of new to me, I don't know if I just didn't pick up on it before. She's going to go in and talk to her deans.
I know. I asked you about that.
When one goes in and talks to one's deans, what does one say when they're saying, hey, listen, I don't think you know this, but I'm like a really important vlogger, and I'm going to go to countries and work on my things like other foreign countries like Montana and Colorado.
I thought maybe she thought like, you know, her deans like Dean Cain, Dean Martin Jr., like the celebrity deans she knows. That's my deans, my Uncle Dean.
God. Oh, God. I need a
Dean
drink.
Warmer. probably be the best.
You know,
you
this
think she knows that movie.
Daughter? No, no. No, because it would be like, you know, young, thin, and stupid is no way to go through life.
That's amazing. John Enright is here. He's the proprietor of Bluestone in Evanston. That's on there Central Street in Evanston, not to be missed. If you are in Evanston under any circumstances, one must go there. It's actually, I believe that if you get pulled over, they drive you directly to Bluestone, right? Mm-hmm. To have the pizza?
For a nightcap.
Yes.
And a pizza.
Nice.
Best? I don't know. Do we call it tavern style? I don't even know what we call it anymore in Chicago. Mm. Best thin crust, super thin crust pizza ever. Because it's almost good. Translucent, the crust.
And I'm already two corned beef sandwiches deep. Thank you, John.
What'd you think of those?
I'm going to have a couple more.
Okay.
I'm just getting started, plenty. John. John brought corned beef sandwiches and liquor, and this is my kind of
We've
day.
We've been cooking it all week. Big parties all week.
How much corned beef will you serve up on a weekend like this?
Well, just alone, we did the St. A's party last Saturday. We went through 450 pounds.
Mm. Wow. 450 pounds of corned beef?
Of cooked corned beef.
And that's, what was that, 10 people? What was that, 15? Yeah. What was that?
500. There were 500 people.
Whoa, that's still, wait.
That's
500
a lot
people,
of...
That's still close to a pound a person.
Well, you have to consider the church ladies. Who, okay, they're the
they
first
put,
in line.
Oh, they put
and
it in their purse?
Right into a sealed purse.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
My grandmother used to do that, too.
Well,
at a buffet. It was the worst thing in the world.
So true. Yeah. I've been handed that pouch.
Right.
What is this?
And then they're pouring. They're literally
murder. What is that? What has happened here?
They're little. Pouring the cocktail sauce into a gosh. Pocket. And you're like, wait, wait a second. You can't go buy cocktail sauce?
It's a sucker play.
Oh, man. All right. So, also, I might add that his meatloaf, I'm not a gigantic, like, I wouldn't, like, go out of my way to have meatloaf anywhere at home or anything if it's just, you know, somebody had to make it for me. John's meatloaf is the finest meatloaf that was ever. It's the entire. There are cows that are proud of the meatloaf.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Yes.
Eat more loaf.
Yes. That's how good his meatloaf is. There are cows that are like, you know what? My grandfather.
Meatloaf. Actually, this is great meatloaf.
Was actually Bluestone meatloaf.
Like a war vet for cows.
Oh, jeez.
Right. That's how cows actually get lucky.
You're going to die. That's how
field.
You want to go out.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah.
I'm so glad I brought my friends from PETA to today's broadcast. We're in the green room right now.
They're going
to
love Bluestone.
People eat tasty animals.
I don't have any friends from PETA. So
oh, man. And John, you know, for those who don't know, John is the not only the patient zero of the Carnival Wagon, did one of the first, you know, where we had an actual professional bartender restaurant owner come in and do it. But he also is he won the first golf tournament, the first Kanarbal Cup golf tournament.
Wow.
He used to do that.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, it was up in the bar for many years. And people go, what is that?
They thought it was an ashtray.
What is that?
They don't even make those anymore.
Right. That's true. That's true.
I didn't know that about John. Yeah. Of course, the next 9 were won by Trump. And then Kim Jong-un won the next 6. And then Trump again for 4.
Yeah. That's true. Deal. That's true. The Kanarbal Cup was not a long-standing tradition in golf history. But it, no, a couple of years. Okay. It was a couple of years. You won the first one and didn't show up the second one. So that's why you didn't win it. And then, John was there. And serving margaritas, as I seem to recall, because John has a killer margarita as well.
Yeah,
he's the north. If you are on the North Shore, when people go, well, I'll say, hey, where are you from? Like, oh, I'm from Evanston or Wilmette or, you know, the Lincolnwood even, and they go, do you know Bluestone? And then everybody has that look on their face, like, oh yeah, yeah.
Legendary status.
Yes. Like, it just goes down as one of the most important, places.
It's a good old joint. Thank you.
Yes.
And you're 18. We're in our 19th year.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's really something.
Boy, did that fly.
That really did.
Amazing.
And of course, and people may not recall this either, because John was the guy who bought took over a hole-in-the-wall little restaurant on Western Avenue called The Candlelight. That generations of Northwestern people had been going to, right? My mom, who went to Northwestern, would talk about The Candlelight when she was in Northwestern in the 19... Yeah, I can't say what years.
Yeah, don't
she
do that.
Really
do
mad
not
at me
do
about
that.
It.
Don't do that.
But he took over The Candlelight. And The Candlelight was in a little bit, I would say, in a slight amount of disrepair. Would that be fair to say, John?
It could use a little work.
Yes. You could actually see into the kitchen from the men's room because there was a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
There was literally a guy.
Hole in the wall with holes.
A guy had actually punched a hole in the wall.
Sorry about that.
We had a creepy dishwasher who made that hole.
Wow. First time.
I swear, I called the repair guy. He just hasn't come in yet.
Creepy dishwasher. Simpsons, episode 17, season 4. By the way, to all the dishwashers out there, you are not creepy because I was eating in restaurants across the world.
Just this one.
Just the one, that's right.
Your dishwasher was not a subtle guy, though, because the hole was the size of somebody's head. So if he was trying to be surreptitious about staring at other people going to the bathroom, he did not do a good job. But it was at a point, but that was the kind of restaurant where you went in and you anticipated that. So it was like, all right, I don't care.
And nothing was shocking.
I got to go to the bathroom. I don't care. All right, go ahead, Jose. Take a look. I don't care.
A little bit of turnover at the guy. Celebrating his 14th day as a dishwasher, our senior.
I once walked in to his old restaurant, and he had literally a dog sitting at the bar, on the bar stool.
Wait for the poker game.
Right. Yeah. Sort of like...
Fist my dog.
Yeah,
it was a boxer.
It was a boxer, and it was, and I'm like, why is there a dog sitting... It was like a joke. Why is a dog sitting at a bar? I guess, I don't know, because he can. So it was really, it was quite a thing. And then you came in and you did the Kanarbal Wagon with us, I don't know, for the 100th time or whatever, and you were serving margaritas, and we ended up in an extended show that night, so I didn't properly time.
Oh, that's right.
And the next thing you know, I'm getting a call from the control room is like, hey, the general manager's on the line for you.
Oh, dear God.
You never want to hear that under any circumstances. And I picked up and I go, he goes, I've sent a car for you. Turn off the microphone. Walk away. Go downstairs.
So I never invite Enright back.
Right.
So who finished the show?
I have no recollection.
Oof, that's bad.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Figure it out, guys. I'm leaving.
You know what? You know what? Our general manager's a complete a-hole.
They said, hey,
Mr. Khan, your microphone is still on.
They brought in that kid, Alex Jones, in the last 20 minutes.
Here's the deal right now, big conspiracy. I don't know if you realize it. Richard Nixon's still alive. Hey, get some energizing pills. Give me a call right now. And that was the beginning of the whole Alex Jones thing.
Little known fact.
All right. So what did you make for us?
Well, we did... the guys are drinking the a cask strength Jameson and a little splash of ginger beer.
What? Mm-hmm. They got whiskey and I got gin?
You can have both.
Okay.
Dear.
Look.
No, I do like both. That was just me.
Her first and after
getting both. That was nice. Look, boy, the kid's right mid-stride. That's it.
Right. Wait till you get comfortable fast. Yeah.
Yeah. Just learned the big trick there.
I've been here for over 24 hours. Man, show me some respect.
Yeah, I'm a veteran.
Worked, though. See that?
And there's then little corned beef sandwiches. Mm-hmm.
There are some who have not lasted 24 hours.
That's true.
Here, that's for sure. And, all right, so you got the Jameson, and then your, what's the gin one that you're doing?
That is a really tasty gin. And it's got...
It's all it's called.
It's got all these botanicals in there. Mm-hmm. Aloe, liqueur.
Ooh. It's like the drink you want if you have sunburn. That's what it
is. Yeah. Sounds like it, yeah. Could, healing properties.
What the hell are you talking about?
You have to come... We'll get you a sip.
What the hell are you talking about?
It's tasty, though.
Bro, if you can make your way over to me...
I can't, actually. I'm stuck here behind all the equipment, and it would be... We can pass it around. Pass it around. Pass it around the horn.
Pass it over
to the tens of thousands of dollars of beautiful equipment that's been installed here.
Yeah. Right, that's teamwork.
Okay, now, so this is a... Oh, it is. It's incredibly floral.
Oh, yeah.
You'll like that. What's happening here on this? Tell me about it.
Luxardo. And aloe, and green chartreuse.
Wow.
And what's our morning team that drove out of business?
Kristen, our bar manager, comes up with these.
I had a 1989 chartreuse. A great car.
Yeah, it was a beauty, man. You had the ragtop, I believe, as I recall.
Oh, my God. What the hell's going on?
I'm just good right over there.
Yeah, it tastes strong, but... It doesn't burn. It's very smooth.
Right.
It's nice.
No, it doesn't burn now. You just wait. What is
keep
the?
Keep saying that.
Yeah. What is the?
He's projecting a little bit there, Lauren. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. What? Wait. All right. What kind of gin is it?
It's Finn's gin.
Finn's gin.
All these new fun gins are barrel aged. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the gins these days aren't all juniper berry. You know, like you're chewing a Christmas tree. Like our parents drank.
That was the first liquor I got. You know, you learn your lesson when you get into
everybody's first liquor.
And I just blacked out. Next thing I know, I was in the bathroom. I'm like, I'm never drinking that again.
Yeah, that was my first one.
To get
it was a tough Little League game for Kev that day. I'll tell you later on.
Struck out three times.
Second base.
Struck out after the T-ball game.
Middle ball.
Still haven't gotten over that.
I think it's because gin tends to be. First of all, there are some gin that are 94 proof as opposed to 80 proof.
Correct.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And then people are drinking, and there's something about gin that makes you thirsty, and you just want to continue to drink it. And then the next thing you know, it's... And I found it, you've known me a long time, I used to drink gin in my 20s and in my 30s, and then it was like, 32 or 33, and it hit me, and I'm like, never again. It's like you wake, it's almost like Ebenezer Gin from the future is at the foot of your bed, and you wake up, and it's basically, if you have another gin, your liver will actually come out of your butthole. And it was like, I think I might have to stop, and I stopped. But every once in a while, I will.
You just had a sip.
I'll have like a one. Maybe at a time, but a gin martini up. I almost lost my career over that too.
Jeez.
there was the great Neil Steinberg, who's written a book now about not drinking. Had a party back a long time ago, and he wanted to prove a point. He'd written a column about the fact that you cannot have more than two gin martinis up versus vodka martinis. You can actually, you will fall over at the bar after gin faster than you will with vodka. And he proved the point properly.
Wow.
So there's something about it. It's a little harder on your something or another.
That was right before his Step on a Rake book that Neil did. If you step on a rake, it keeps hitting you in the forehead. Let's try it again.
All right. Well,
Ebenezer Gin. I just love him.
So if people are listening on the app, or you're listening on the internet, or you're listening wherever you happen to be listening, Bluestone Restaurant, 1932 Central Street in Evanston. It's you could almost throw a baseball to Ryan Field, right?
Go Cats.
Yeah. It's a great thing before or after Northwestern games. And in the summer, you've got the great outdoor. You just sit outside there on Central Street.
Nice.
You watch the fancy people. You see a lot of guys in Docksiders and no socks. in red and or pink pants and short sleeves.
Look like they're getting ready for a flood.
Right.
Short pants.
Yes.
Didn't show the ankle.
Lots of guys with button-down shirts and nice watches and who are cheating by getting their kids into school by paying $700,000 to get them into USC. Is that would that be about right? Do I have that about right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's exactly what happens.
A lot of
we do have a patio. That part of it was true.
Yeah, it was great.
A lot of inbred North Shore swells is, I think, what you would find there, along with sports fans and all the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what's a funny thing? You walk in at the bar. It's like there's like four guys I've seen every time I've ever been in there. And I don't know if they're, like, working security or they're... I don't know who they are, but they are always there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Those are regulars.
Yeah.
You have to have your regulars.
But, I mean, these are... It's a Cheers regulars. It's like they're part of the cast.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You pay them to be there?
We work something out.
Yeah.
But they're very kind. They've been with us since day one.
We used to call them investors, but now they're like... It's like a different deal. All right.
They're investing their livers.
Yes. Yeah. Well, who hasn't? Cause. All right. All of that is coming your way. But first, let's check in now with Kim. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
Row a milestone for former Governor Rob Blagojevich.
Bro Concho with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Or WGN everywhere, as we are right now. On the World Wide Web, as we're awaiting the end of the White Sox game, we'll go back to live programming on the AM side. But it's always live and barely alive here on the World Wide Web. Canarbo Wagon is out. That's a real thing. Guys are having a conversation in the background. I don't know why. We have got Bluestone from Evanston here, which is the finest restaurant, I think. Now, I don't care what they say about... the Linea or whatever the hell it is. You have an absolute, you have a gem of a restaurant. I can say that now.
You're one.
And I think that what's the guy from Linea? What's that guy's name?
Grant.
Grant Achatz or whatever.
Achatz. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever his name is. How we pronounce that? He can pound sand as far as I'm concerned.
Wow. Well, I have a funny story about him. He, after his divorce, his ex-wife and two boys lived up in Evanston.
Mm-hmm.
And he would...
Well, it's a knee slapper already, John.
Am I speaking too fast?
Yeah.
Then what happens?
So they would come in for lunch, and I never knew who he was.
This sounds
like
a Lori
Loughlin
movie.
But I had these wine guys in there, and I'm having a tasting, and they look up as if...
God had arrived.
God walked in.
Well, he kind of is.
Yeah. And he kind of, yeah, but if you saw him. And this was soon after the tongue thing.
Okay.
He had a little operation on his tongue.
Yes.
And they said, oh, my God, it's Grant. So, of course, I went up and said, oh, all these times I've seen you, I didn't realize it was you.
Because he'd been there a number of times.
Yes, on his day to see the boys.
Okay.
And he loved the French onion soup, which...
I love your French onion soup.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's very good.
For him.
Him. I know, but these guys can't always eat the way they cook. Those
guys. Tongue thing, too. Yeah. So it's not that
great. Why do you bring that up?
Enough with the tongue.
I know, the guy had cancer, okay?
I mean,
I know. It's like, and he survived it. And it's
dodged a bullet.
And it was one of those.
Any stories about the kid from Mask?
He comes in on Thursdays.
Just has everything through a straw because, he's the kid from Mask.
And I'm like, what? How are we going to do this? Yeah, you can't have the meatloaf through a straw. I mean, I could try.
What that time the elephant man came in? Remember that? That was amazing.
All right. Okay, so the...
He's coming with rice! My apologies.
Did he ever come in again? Is my question.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they moved away. So.
Right. That's what he said.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's down the street at Mustard's.
It's time now to move along. If for some reason this ever gets back to him, Kevin Powell said it.
What?
All right. Coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. one of the great musicians ever work his way through Chicago. Philip Michael Scales is going to be with us. He's B.B. King's nephew. But that is, that's basically, you know, we like to say it because it gives people relevance to it, but he's such an amazing artist.
Absolutely.
In his own right. Mm-hmm. And when you hear him, you will just be absolutely blown away. He's going to be at Tonic Room coming up on Thursday night. So if you want to go see him there. But he'll be with us, and then live broadcasting. And then I think Mr. Roper also has one movie left that we not talked about.
We got as many as you want to talk about. I think we have seven left, but we'll do one or two. You can pick.
All right.
Wheel of Movies, bro, whatever you want to talk about.
Right. All right, so that's all coming your way.
Yeah.
But first, let's now check in. Kim Gordon's got the WGN News at 6 o'clock.
But don't lie to me. He's the man in your bed, on your mind when you sleep. Got caught up when I saw you. The whole start has been time stopped and my heart dropped. I was all in. Wish I had.
Philip Michael Scales right there. Sort of a, to me, every time I hear him, he's got sort of these, somewhere between the Wallflowers and Lenny Kravitz. And it's like, I know, it's high praise.
Yeah,
is what I like to say. But he is an amazing artist, and you're going to hear him live coming up here in just a few minutes. I don't want to.
Very cool.
Can't wait for this.
Get ahead of myself here, but that's what's going on. Knurble Wagon is rolling, and the great John Enright from the Great Bluestone Restaurant. It's actually John Enright from the Great Bluestone Restaurant is in the studio with us right now.
And Lauren's double fisting. She's getting things. Her first Knurble Wagon, she's fitting right in.
Yeah, you made it sound like this was going to be a challenge, Ro. Come on.
See, oh, wow.
He's like, uh-oh. I don't want her on my show anymore.
This is Lauren, you're falling into the trap that John laid for me years and years and years ago.
Yeah.
Which is, don't worry, it tastes great. What could possibly go wrong? And the next thing you know, I'm just surrounded by ABC security guards and being let out of the place like I was a protester at a Trump rally. When they put me in the back of the squad car, they didn't put their hand over my head. They just right into the side of the car.
It's not easy to get kicked off your own show.
But I did it.
But you did it.
Yes. True. But I did it. All right, before we get to all that, Richard Roper, we left a couple of movies on the table. I want to kind of go back over to some things that people, this is the last weekend of the year before all the blockbusters are coming out.
True.
It's going to be blockbusters week after week after week now until basically Labor Day, right?
That's pretty much true, yeah. There's always these big tent pole movies, but tons of stuff coming out. I thought it would be interesting to talk a little bit about a movie called Captive State, which I think is going to do pretty well at the box office, particularly here in Chicago, because it was filmed entirely in Chicago at the famous CineSpace Chicago Studios, mm-hmm. where they do all the Dick Wolf shows and the Empire and lots of movies, and in Pilsen. Also in Pilsen. Oh. Now, here's the deal with Captive State, guys. It kind of reminds me of those, like, Cloverfield and Purge, those sci-fi movies that are for thinkers, not just, you know, bloody aliens all the time. And here's the premise of this. In the year 2019, in fact, about 2 weeks from now, on the timeline of the movie, we're going to have an alien invasion here in Chicago, and they're going to come in, and we're not going to have much choice here. They're going to take over. The rest of the movie is set 9 years later, so now we are a captive state here in Chicago. Downtown Chicago is a closed zone, basically a lot of slave labor. The superior beings, they call them the legislators, the aliens live underground, under Chicago. And then,
like aldermen.
And, exactly. And then there's pockets of neighborhoods where the humans are out there, even some insurgents. There was, of course, the famous riot of Wicker Park that did not end well for Wicker Park in this movie. So that's a bombed out zone. But now Pilsen's the hotbed. Because it seems like there's a lot of insurgents maybe gathering and putting together a rebellious move in Pilsen.
Interesting.
Some great restaurants there, too.
They got some great set pieces in this. The director of this movie is actually a guy by the name of Rupert Wyatt. It's not one of these movies by an up-and-coming student filmmaker. This guy did Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Like, he's done some big movies. So at one point in this movie, there's a big rally for the legislators held at Soldier Field, in which high school bands reenact the alien invasion. So there's crazy stuff going on in this movie. It also has this amazing cast: John Goodman, Vera Farmiga, D.B. Sweeney. Remember him from Eight Men Out? Alan Ruck. He was Cameron in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Is in this.
Yeah.
And we've got a scene here where one of the kids who might be a rebel is being queried, being interviewed by John Goodman, who plays the chief of police, who's actually on the side of the aliens. Or is he?
I want a lawyer.
In another 9.5 hours, there'll be nothing left of Pilsen.
I said I want a lawyer.
You and I both know those days are gone. I didn't need a warrant when I burned your boat. You work for me now, Gabriel.
I told you, I'm not one of your knucks. I'm not going to do for you.
I'm not asking you to do anything for me. I'm not even asking you to do anything for your community, even though plenty of people are going to die. Like your father, you're more of a family guy.
It's more intense from there. This one's actually, you got to kind of struggle to keep up with. There's a lot of stuff going on. I'm giving it 3 stars. It has a really cool premise. It has a really cool look because obviously there's special effects involved because right on Lake Michigan near the edge of Navy Pier, there's a giant spaceship hovering. And I've looked
today. It's called Soldier Field.
It's not there. Yes, exactly. And they kind of play off of that, actually. So there's some really cool Chicago images. And like at the screening that I attended, there was a big laugh at one point because someone said, Pilsen, is anything left but whores at that place? Where, you know, which is obviously not the way real Pilsen is, we should
Wonderful
say.
Wonderful place.
Yeah, up and coming, right? Lower West Side. So it really makes great use of the Chicago locales, but then it's got this cool sci-fi look. I almost felt it would have worked better as the pilot for a Netflix series than a movie, because I feel like we're setting up a great premise, and
so
now what's going to happen.
Long-term kind of...
Yeah, maybe that'll happen. Captive State. Check it out if you get a chance.
Captive State.
Here's to the Pilsen Patriots.
How about that? Yes, exactly!
Wow.
Who
you
knew?
Sold me. You sold me on this.
Who knew the rebellion would originate in Pilsen?
I did.
Gentlemen.
I did. So did Luis Gutierrez. He knew that as well. I think that, especially now, Chicago has evolved so much over the last 30 years as a backdrop for films in terms of what a great palette, you know, just an amazing look and feel, and you could do almost anything you want. And it changed really after the Batman suite of films
after,
were shot
here. Christopher Nolan Batman movies, Dark Knight movies, yeah.
Right, because they were able to use, it was the first time you were able to really see people using the vertical nature of the city.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And now in the neighborhoods you see in The Chi, which I think The Chi is an underrated
it really
series
is.
In terms of how it uses Chicago and how beautiful it makes even the toughest neighborhoods, because you go into even the toughest neighborhoods and you can see that there's still great architecture
Absolutely.
And great other things, and it's there are moments where you find these little moments of beauty in places.
You will, and you'll find, you know, almost in any neighborhood some, you know, homes that are so beautifully kept, and the, you know, the residents have been there in that particular home for 50 years. And you're absolutely right, Ro. And the other thing is, I think filmmakers are finding, obviously you go all the way back to The Untouchables, there's certain, you know, sections of the city you don't have to change. They fit the 1920s time period. Right. You know, you don't have to really change anything. But then there's areas, you know, grittier areas that are perfect for sci-fi movies. There was even a little vampire movie where you can go into these, you know, lower Wacker Drive or other areas where, again, you don't really have to bring in a lot of production people. It already looks like, you know, some interesting things could happen here late at night.
Just a little plastic bottles of liquor and you're good to go. Just stay right there and don't move. Yeah. And don't ask me for an after card. All right. We did mention, okay, so that's 3 stars for that.
Yeah, Captive State. We mentioned Unbanned, which is the documentary about the Air Jordans that's streaming right now. So there's a movie I think a lot of people find interesting called Gloria Bell, Julianne Moore Oscar winner, playing a divorced woman in her 50s, trying to find her way through the single life. And John Turturro in that one as well. We've
Did
seen
she download movies. Bumble or Tinder?
Let's just say that, you know.
How realistic one what might one think that that is?
Yeah. Keep swiping right.
Yeah. There's a Kev-like character in this movie. You know. We'll leave it at that.
Oh, God.
Good-looking youngster.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
But no, check that out, too. I mean, Gloria Bell, because I think Julianne Moore will probably get nominated for Best Actress for her performance in that.
It's interesting, because Julianne Bell has been...
Julianne Moore as Gloria Bell.
Julianne Moore has done a lot of press over the last couple of weeks, right, getting ready for this. Mm-hmm. But talking about how she was supposed to be in a film that she ended up not being in, and now it is escaping me because of John Enright. Exactly. Huh. All my short-term memory is gone. But she was cast in the one
Can You Ever Forgive Me?
Yeah, Can You Ever Forgive Me? Mm-hmm. She was originally cast in that, and right before they actually started to go to principal photography, the director fired her because she wanted to wear a prosthetic nose to change her look, and it was getting in the way, and they were like, no, just we want you for you. Yeah. Just do you. Just make it. You don't need a prosthetic. Just be this character, and she didn't do it.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, first of all, I think Melissa McCarthy was great in there, and I think the one thing about this movie, Gloria Bell, and, I think it's a very realistic depiction of what happens. You know, she plays a woman who's probably closer to 60 than 50, two grown kids. It's not like she has an empty life, but she's divorced, and she's thinking, like, what am I going to do next? And when she goes out to these, you know, singles joints and everything, it's, like, not that promising. I think the problem with it is she's Julianne Moore, who looks amazing. You know, so you're like, okay, I understand that, but, and I think the same thing in Can You Ever Forgive Me, to play somebody, the Melissa McCarthy character is so kind of almost invisible in the world.
Yeah.
It's really hard for Julianne Moore to be invisible.
And I thought it was really interesting to promote a movie that she's going to be in by using a story about a movie that she didn't end up being
in. Like John's story about the guy that was visiting the kids on the weekends.
Not salty at all.
There's a lot going on in the world of movies today. Also, remember James Gunn, the director of the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, then was fired by Disney because of offensive tweets he had issued 10 years ago. Kudos to Disney. They've decided to reinstate him as the director of Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Almost the entire cast had said, listen, this guy made offensive jokes on Twitter. He did not commit any crimes. So they've reinstated him. That's a big deal because they had fired him off that movie.
Do you think Lori Loughlin?
I think they felt like it might be the right time to do this.
Slide this right in here. Massimo made up an entire background for his daughter.
All right, well that's very, lots going on in the world of entertainment.
And again, and we should mention, you just mentioned it for a second there, but for Chicagoans especially, they will love this documentary about the Air Jordans.
Yes, right? Yeah, the AJ ones, that they call them, Kev, right? I think
yes. So that, and that's on Netflix?
It's Hulu, but streaming on other places, too. If you just type in Unbanned and Air Jordans, you can watch it tonight if you'd like.
Okay. There we go. There we have it. Let's check in now with Kim, find out what's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Road, the city will have dibs on your dibs next week.
Brocon Show with Anna DeVlantis on WGN Radio Everywhere. About to return to 7:20 a.m. as the White Sox game is about to end against the Cubs. Or is it the Cubs game about to end against the White Sox? Either way, however you want to look at that. John Enright is here from Bluestone. And everybody's going to get their plugs in once we get back on the radio, too, because that's what they all paid for. Now, here is the most important thing, though, because we're also going to have live music on both sides. But let's do something, because people are listening now on super high fidelity, whether they're listening on their smart speakers or through their app in their car or whatever it happens to be. Mm-hmm. And I want people to be able to hear what this actually sounds like when you're playing it on in high fidelity, because we have Studio G, which was put together for us by the kids at Shure, who make microphones and audio equipment and have done an amazing job. Yeah. And we've got Philip Michael Scales, who is one of the most talented musicians in America right now. And he alone with his guitar can he will rock your world. I think that is true to say. So Philip, thank you very much for being with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
What do you want to play for us?
I want to play a new song I wrote this week. Is that cool?
Yeah. If it's cool with you, it's cool with me.
Awesome.
Take it away.
It's called Get the Best of Me.
Well, I know this door. I know this street. I've seen this lock before, and there ain't no key. That hurts my heart. Gotta leave. Can't let another lover take the best of me. I can't take potential. I can't take your dreams. Without a plan to realize, what do they mean? Don't have time to tendencies. Can't let another lover take the best of me. You lose your temper, then you lose your mind. Grew up believing that's what love looked like. I can't wait on something that'll never be. I can't let another lover take the best of me. It's a quiet whisper, it's a vague feeling. If I stay one day, it'll be definite. If I stick it out for you, then shame on me. I can't let another lover take the best of me. You lose your temper, then you lose your mind. Grew up believing that's what love looked like. I can't wait on something that'll never be. I can't let another lover take the best of me. Another lover, take the best of me.
There it is, Philip Michael Scales.
Thanks, man.
Oh, man.
I took out the 10-minute guitar solo.
But isn't that what everybody's about now, though? Isn't that like the whole thing?
That is.
Yeah, because if you get to a situation where you're going to be on stage and the club owner says, listen, I need 2 hours.
Yeah.
And guy's got, I got 5 songs.
Yeah.
So what do you got to do?
Make it work.
Yeah, but you could do anything.
Wasn't that Ray Charles thing, that what I'd say song? Yeah, at least I was having it in the movie. They just vamped on that for the rest of their set so they could get paid?
Right, exactly.
That's I'm what absolutely
you
with them.
That's what. All right, well, that's what one must do. All right, why don't we do this? You got, I apologize for people that sound the app, but this is how we're producing the show while we're on the show.
Absolutely.
So we've got about, the 2 outs in the Sox game, right?
2 outs left.
Right, and then about 4. All right, let's do another short one, shall we?
Another short one?
Yeah, can you do something for 4 or 5 minutes?
Yeah, absolutely, for sure.
Take it away, Phil Michael Scales.
All right, I'm going to do a Beatles cover, is that cool?
As long
shaking
as
his head
as
yes.
long as you're willing to pay the rights, go ahead.
Saw the photograph, blew his mind out in a car. He hadn't noticed that the lights changed. Crowd of people turned to stare. They'd seen his face before. Nobody was really sure if he was from the house of love. I saw a film today, oh boy. The British Army had just won the war. Grab a coat, grab a hat, pay the bus, say goodbye. thousand holes in Blackford, Lancashire. And though the holes were rather small, they had to count them all. Now they know how many holes it takes to fill the Albert Hall.
There he is, Philip Michael Scales. All right, stay right there. Don't move. Now, you're, did I get this right? That you are that you've been based here in Chicago?
Yes,
for the last number of years. And did I hear this right? That you're going to rebase somewhere?
Yeah. I'm going to head to Nashville sometime between now and September.
Why would you do that? What goes on in Nashville? Nothing ever happens in Nashville.
Not music at all. Not none of that. No, I mean, there's just some opportunities down there. They've been calling my name, and, you know, I gotta go where I'm called sometimes, you know?
All right. Well, you'll still be coming up here and playing, though.
Of course. And I can still stream WGN on my computer in Nashville.
Yes, on your app. Let's all get the app right now.
Absolutely.
I'm going to make everybody go get the app. No matter what you're doing, just go to your Google Play, go to your iTunes Store, whatever it is, get the WGN app, put it on your phone, you can get this anywhere you are on the planet Earth. I don't know, maybe you don't always want it on the planet Earth, but if you do, that's an opportunity. All right, we're going to come right back to more music. Phil Michael Scales is going to be with us also. We've got the news with Kim Gordon coming your way in just a few minutes. Stay right here. For a broadcast. I think it's a little too late for that, since John Enright brought the Carnarvon wagon today. And he has been known to... John in his previous life was an anesthesiologist at Northwestern. People don't know that about him. Now he owns restaurants and bars and stuff, and he does the exact same thing.
Putting everyone to sleep.
That's basically what you're going to do. All right, we're going to join the WGN radio air here in just a moment, and then we'll be doing the news and then more music, live music from Philip Michael Scales, right? So all that is coming your way. But we have about 50 seconds until we join the WGN radio broadcast. So if there's anything else you'd like to say on the internet before...
You mother!
That's exactly right. Before the FCC actually has control over this thing, you can do it now or forever hold your peace. Really sorry.
Roy, I always wanted to tell you this.
Oh, no. John, anything you'd like to say?
I'm all good. I love your new office.
Thank you very much.
This is beautiful.
Thank you. It's radio. People can't see it. But yes, thank you very much. I know. What are they missing?
The clouds look a bit white with a tint of pink, and then down below it's a bit blue.
It is a nice sunset.
And it's matching up against the beautiful blue waters of Lake Michigan.
It does appear that Lauren should have been doing golf. I think she's missed her opportunities here. All right, stand by, everybody. Here we go. We're about to join WGN Radio. Already in progress. It is the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. You just listened to the Cubs Sox from Glendale, Arizona. And now it is time for Kim Gordon and the WGN News, being brought to you by AppleChevy.com.
Send me there.
It's a Friday afternoon. Carnarvon Wagon has rolled here. We were, if you're just joining us on 7:20 a.m., we were on the World Wide Web prior to that, starting at 3 o'clock, full show. And Mr. John Enright, who is the proprietor at Bluestone in Evanston on Central Street, 1932 Central Street, is the Carnarvon Wagon guest today. He's the, as we mentioned earlier, the patient zero of the Carnarvon Wagon. And thank you very much for being here. We really appreciate it. Serving amazing drinks and cuisine, big St. Patrick's Day weekend for you, right?
Huge.
Say that again. Huge.
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 Yeah, a lot of parties.
And you've got and you've cooked close to a half ton of corned beef over the last week, have you not?
We have.
Yes. So
big parties, and our corned beef is
it's very good.
So yes, good.
Brought it in. Amazing stuff. So thank you very much for being with us.
I don't even like corned beef, and I love this sandwich.
Yeah, people say
that. How does
that
happen?
Well,
like, there's something magical about what John does. And I don't know if he puts something else that's like ecstasy or something in there. I don't know what he does. But whatever it is, everybody, when you're done eating it at Bluestone, you're like, oh, my God, it's the greatest thing ever happened. I don't know what's – that's amazing. All right. Now, Philip Michael Scales is here for Live Music Friday. So we're going to kind of jam all the best stuff of a Friday into these last 20 minutes. And then the return of Extension 720 with Justin Kaufman coming your way at 7 o'clock tonight. So we got that going for us.
Very cool.
So Philip Michael Scales, one of our favorites. I'd like to say that I made Philip Michael Scales who he is today. I don't think any of that is really true, but I'd like to take credit for it. Is with us, and he is going to be coming up next Thursday night at Tonic Room in Chicago, which is a really fun place, right? Tonic Room at go to Ticketfly for tickets there. And Philip, even though he's you see him all over town here, he's now on his way to Nashville to become an even bigger star than he already is, but promises he shall return, and that's the most important thing, is it not?
Absolutely.
There you always come home.
You got to.
Yeah.
There's corned beef at home.
Right. Have you had the corned beef yet?
I have.
See, now I like a guy. I like a musician who likes to eat meat, because that's the thing. The ones that because now everybody is all about, oh, I didn't believe in it.
Taxing meat now.
Yeah.
Well, it's a war on red meat, Ralph.
I know. The whole thing's wrong.
It's horrible.
Well, when you tour, it's like you have iceberg lettuce or you have a pulled pork sandwich. So.
The iceberg lettuce that's a little red already.
Yeah. Yeah. With like some ranch dressing, and you're just like, oh, this isn't what's up.
Whatever you eat,
I'll take
working.
The cholesterol. Thank you very much.
Right. It's in the backseat of the car that he's driving in with the entire band.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, God. It's bad. All right. What would you like to play for us?
I'm going
to
play a song called Shame.
Take it away.
Yeah.
Just 'cause you needed the escape.
Well, I kept all her letters like a soldier in a hole in the ground, knowing she ain't my soulmate, just the closest thing that I found.
Scales.
Think
wow.
So.
You almost make me feel ashamed not to have shame. That's my problem right there. All right. One more from Phil Michael Scales on the other side here. Stay right here. You can see him at Tonic, the Tonic Room, a week from last night on Thursday, 21st of March. Stay right here. Right now, let me just tell you this. We've got the last traffic update, actually, of the day. Coming up in just a second, but first we find out from Andrea what's coming up at the top of the hour.
And Ro, a community alert following the terror attacks on two mosques in New Zealand. We'll have complete details coming up at 7.
Into the quiet.
We're here.
Am I supposed to be doing something else here?
We were waiting for something.
Let's go right into this. All right, here we go. Philip Michael Scales. He's got time for one more. He's here. You'll see him on the Grammys next year. I promise you that. Philip Michael Scales, take it away.
Got caught up when I saw you. The room started spinning. Time stopped and my heart dropped. I was all in. I wish I had known now. Look at the maps we're in. Do you, don't you? I know you won't. I said, will you, won't you, why do you haunt? Lover, let me be. Now rationalize, like you always do. You can't follow your heart. It just leaves you confused. But the swan song is so strong. Strangers, they're singing. Am I right? Just the same, justifying sinning. Now I can't feel bad for a man who puts hands on you. Do you, don't you? You won't. I know I should leave. I said, will you, won't you, why do you hunt? Lover, let me be. You say we're through in about 2 weeks. You call me some drunk excuse, break down saying I need you, Lord, do you, don't you, I know you won't, I know I should leave, I said, will you, won't you, why do you hold me, lover, let me be.